that we never believe that it is so fun.
Really?
And I thought, yeah, I used to do some nice stuff when you were so young. He said, no, this is so fun. So I decided, yeah, we got this.
Ready, guys?
Oh,
yeah. Okay, let's do this. I had talked to another fellow lawyer today, and I said, well, I was talking to a couple other lawyers, and I told them, I said, so you guys ready for tomorrow? You got this? Oh yeah, we're ready. We're in the dog. And then the other guy said, "What's tomorrow?" I said, "You're in the doghouse already, dude. You don't know if this isn't on your radar screen,
you're done.
Right? You're done."
No, okay.
I said, I'll just take it up while I'm here. Is that okay? He said,
yeah, 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 yeah.
This is your sale.
Huh?
We forgot to put this better.
You got that?
Or is that under asset management?
So, it's crazy.
This is different.
My,
We already did a directive for her to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's
already started. We've already directed him to do that.
Where
are you going? You're
staying right here.
All right, let's get going. And it's item number, when we're going to move up this.
Concept, B1?
Jennifer?
It looks like it's
B1. Yep. Okay. All right, good evening, everybody. This is the meeting of the Committee for Finance, Audit, Facilities, and Planning. Today is February 13th, the day before February 14th. In case some of you all forgot out there. And the time is 6:14 p.m. Can you please call roll?
Mr. Sergio Coronado?
Here.
Mr. Adrian Medina?
Here.
Ms. Laura Sterl?
Here.
All committee members present?
Thank you. All right, and before we go on to the first agenda item, which is the roundtable discussion, if the rest of the committee members are okay, we'd like to take up item B1. Mm-hmm. Everybody in agreement? All right.
Yes, sir.
Martha.
B2B, financial services. Item 1, discussion of upcoming bond sale.
Good evening. I placed on your chair a packet. It has a cover memo, and then it's got a calendar, a schedule of events, and then a presentation. And I'll begin by stating that, you know, as we move forward with the discussions that we've had of our upcoming bond sales, Series 2013, Maria and I have been working closely and preparing for the different elements that will have to be addressed as we move forward. Discussions have been made about having a bond rating presentation in person versus our normal phone conferences that we've had in the past. So that will entail working closely with Gustavo to prepare this presentation that the board members of the board and anybody else that is designated to attend will present at the bond reading. And so I'll begin with the projected schedule of events for the sale, and Maria will go on that. So I apologize. This is Maria Urbina, and she is from First Southwest.
Good evening, everybody. Martha was saying, my name is Maria Urbina with First Southwest. For the past couple of years, you know, after the district passed their bond election, we've been helping the district issue bonds for your projects. Back in 2011, we took, the first half of the bonds, and, we had a very successful sale You know, due to market conditions and the fact that the money still hadn't been spent, we decided to push it to, you know, instead of issuing in 2011 like we had originally intended, we pushed it to 2012. And then now we're kind of like, 2012 and now to 2013. So, you know, we've come to you in numerous occasions, and we understand that, you know, you're starting to, complete the planning on some of the projects, and so we wanted to come back to you and give you a proposed time frame to issue the second set of bonds. I think Martha sent you this copy that I sent over to her. Today what we wanted to do, just generally give you an idea, the market in itself, the bond market is held very nicely. You know, I know we came here about 6 months or 3 months ago, but you know, it's held up very nicely, and we foresee that it's going to stay pretty steady for the next few months. So I think that the earliest time that you know, we could conceivably come to you with a presentation for a parameters resolution would be at your March meeting, which would be, you know, and I think I visited with some of your staff, would be in March 26th. I'm sorry, not a parameter, so just a general presentation to the board. And what we want to do at that meeting on the 26th is bring to you a draft copy of the rating presentation. And we're going to start working very closely, like Martha was saying, with Gustavo and your staff, because we want to put together the best story possible for Panatea. We think that it's an opportune time to actually go out there and visit with the rating agencies, because they haven't seen you in a very long time. So going to them in Dallas, I think, would be a really great move. So we want to bring forward to you on the 26th of next month the presentation that we're going to be taking to Dallas. With that, then, our next meeting to the Board of Trustees would be on April the 16th. At that meeting, we'll bring the official statement and all the legal documents with the parameters resolution to get your consent to start preparing to sell the bonds. And if you do decide to move forward at that meeting, we'll have roughly about 6 months to price the deal. We hope that the market is good at that time, and possibly price as soon as April or beginning of May, and close your bonds at the end of May or beginning of June. So basically what we're saying here today is that after today, we're going to continue working with your staff very closely, putting together rating presentations, official documents for the bond transaction, and we're going to be meeting with you in the next couple months to just inform you of where we are at every step of the way. I also passed out to Martha, and you received this in your package. I believe it's the ratings, meeting schedule, and events. What we would like to do with the board, I know that there's still going to be a discussion as to, you know, who's going, but what we would like to do is to have the board fly out the night before the rating meetings, because we will prepare with you. Okay, we'll sit down and strategize as to what we're going to be saying. We're going to have the presentation that you're already going to see, but we're going to strategize. And so at the following meeting on Friday, we'll just go ahead and have everything, and then you can fly back out at the end of the day.
And it'll be Standard & Poor & Fitch?
Absolutely. It'll be Standard & Poor's & Fitch, which already rates your bonds.
Excuse me.
Mr. Chair, that's the night of the employee banquet.
Oh.
Which day?
May 3rd.
May the 3rd?
We'll be back in time.
Okay. Well, you tell me, this is preliminary and subject to change.
We can change it.
The next Friday would be...
That's not as
Are
good.
We missing anything?
Okay, you had planned it for us to actually do the presentation on May 3rd?
Yes.
That's a Friday?
Yes.
And we did consider that there's the national school board, and
right.
So we were trying to see the weeks, and I
right.
completely
and we still have some time and flexibility. So what I have told Martha is we need to visit with, you know, you're all scheduled, and figure out okay, what's going to work. But this is just tentative and subject to change. But yes, May 3rd had been the date that we had put it on the calendar. Mm-hmm.
Do you know who's going to?
A week later would be Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's probably so. A week earlier, yeah. Probably.
When do you see that?
Well, we could Friday. Come back on before. Saturday, I guess. Right.
Sure. Right. You could.
Okay, so we'd leave. We'd be there Thursday.
Yes.
Prepare Thursday afternoon.
Absolutely. Yes.
And then
do the presentation Friday.
Yes, and bring you back, and you'd be here by 5:40 that evening.
On Friday.
What time does the employee banquet start?
Probably 6.
I think it starts at 6.
Yeah, the schedule. I've already checked.
We could make it. We could just come dressed.
Serge, you don't have to do your hair.
Yes, I do. I have to stick it in a pencil sharpener.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Well, let's do a preliminary. Actually, then the following week, I guess we could do it because we'd be back. We don't have anything in the evening. We don't have anything in the evening on the following Friday, and then Mother's Day is not till Sunday.
That's correct.
Okay, so maybe
1 week out.
1 week out.
The ninth and tenth.
Okay. All right. Make the change.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
And the last presentation I provided to you all at one of the last committee meetings, I had been given some direction as to locating or identifying underwriting firms with potential minority representation. Mm-hmm. And when I was at Midwinter, I did contact Estrada Hinojosa, and we actually got to speak for a few minutes. They're very interested, would love to come and present. And when I speak, when I say underwriting, it'd be partnering up with Southwest Securities or any other underwriting firm that you would like to elect. And typically, in the past, what we did with a bond sale this size, we selected two underwriting firms to partner with the senior partner as Southwest Securities, and then Piper Jaffray as the underwriter, the part.
For that all in addition to 2011.
And as I stated, they expressed great interest in coming and presenting to you all, you know, in the subsequent months, if that is what you would like to do and consider for when we're ready to do the bond sale. Any questions?
Are y'all good with that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. You know, we can certainly have both Estrada Hinojosa and Southwest come in. That's fine.
Would you? I can go ahead and send out a notice and request that they are here for the March 26th presentation.
I can recommend that to the board.
Yes.
All right. Any questions from anybody?
No.
I have one question, Maria, and maybe Martha. What since you know when we planned for the bond, we had put in place when our indebtedness tax was going to go up. Seems that our plan has actually had been delayed in purchasing the second part of the bonds. Mm-hmm. Is that going to affect our tax for this coming year?
As a matter of fact, I received a schedule from Jeff this morning. I asked him to, you know, give us a picture as to, you know, how are we looking as far as debt service requirements for our community as a tax rate. And we're going to present it at 32 cents. And actually, we were able to prolong it. Instead of the two-year bond relief, we actually did a three-year bond relief. And so 32 cents is what we will present for this current year. And I do have some, recommendations that I'm going to share with you when I present the financials later this evening, as to perhaps identifying other funds to help with a debt service tax rate, and relieving some of the bond funds that we committed to that bond relief.
Yeah, because we didn't purchase a second set when we said we would. We'd already purchased a year and a half, actually, wasn't it?
A year and a half, yes.
Of tax relief for the first mm-hmm. increase, right?
Right.
So it's basically helped, if you want to call it, in terms of, you know, you having to raise your tax rate. But I think, as I'm hearing you say, I mean, I think you've reached 3 years as the maximum for that one.
Yeah.
At the 25 cents that we had prior to.
Yeah, well, we had told we were going to raise it 8 cents first, so if,
mm-hmm.
if we're midstream, we might consider doing something between 8 and 16 that we had projected that this next year would be 16, right?
Right, this would have been
this coming bottom, mm-hmm. this coming
fiscal year. Yes.
Right, and when we come to you in the next month or so, I'd like to bring the schedule to present to you so you can see, you know, more clearly how it's going to impact your debt rate, you know, for this upcoming year and the following years.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we'll have, we'll bring to you, you know, also a an illustrative, but, you know, kind of an accurate market comparison of your bonds, so that way you can see really where you stand at that point. We'll bring the true interest cost that is expected on your bonds. You'll have a very good picture at that point as to where you're going to be in your tax rate.
And we're talking about having the sale sometime in May or June?
Correct.
Do you think the market will hold up for that long?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think so. It's been holding up pretty nicely. You know, we're still at the lowest levels we've been. So I feel confident, you know, that waiting a month or two isn't necessarily going to be anything different. Now, if you told me a year or two, well, I actually think in the next year or two, rates are going to go up, period. I mean, if you ask around, you know, that's the sentiment. But a month or two isn't necessarily going to be that different.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
No questions.
No.
Thank
you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I do have a question.
Yes.
I didn't know y'all were done. I'm looking at Estrada and Hinojosa.
Yes.
Why do we have it?
Because I was seeking out another firm to use and partner up with Southwest Securities for the bond sale, the underwriting. And when I reached out and said, you know, I might be considering recalling, and they went ahead and sent the refunding. I guess there's another refunding availability. And I explained to them, you know, if we do any refunding, it will be with the bond sales. But he just wanted to introduce his firm to you all and share some of their steps.
Okay, so this does not mean we're doing it, because
We'll be presenting, well, call them and see if they can come and present to you all March 26th, as well as Southwest Securities.
And do we not use Piper Jaffray as...
No, our senior partner is Southwest Securities, mm-hmm. and then Piper Jaffray was the, what do you call this?
Piper Jaffray was a co-manager on your first bond issue, which was 2011.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you know, that was the indication from the board. This time around, you get to choose another set of underwriters, but I believe that Southwest Securities, back in 2011, had been chosen as a senior for this bond issue as well. I think that I had heard Mondo, if I'm not mistaken, voice the need to have some minority firms in the representation for the underwriting firms. And so I think that Martha has been communicating with some of the minority firms out there to solicit, I guess, some packages of information so you could see who's out there.
So they are senior managers? They would be managers?
No.
Can I, just real quick, to go back in some of the history, actually right now I believe Piper Jaffray doesn't have anybody, no longer exists. So when we made the motion, I believe it was like 80-20, and so for both products, but since we were in a short time frame, we said on the other 20%, make sure it's the administration's recommendation, but on the next one, when we're selling this one, to actually look for some minority firms to be partnering up with.
So that's who
that's, where they
that's
come
in
into
response
play. Yes.
to that.
Yes.
Okay.
And there is Cabrera Capital as well. Like I said, he responded immediately and we met at midwinter.
Right?
And so I wanted to share this, but if you wanted me to contact Cabrera Capital, I could also do that as well.
So who did Piper Jaffray turn into?
I believe that the representative who was coming out to visit you is at another firm now. I think he's at Oppenheim.
Yes,
he's already gone to another firm. So Piper Jaffray is in this.
Just they do not exist.
They're out there.
They're
actually, they're not represented here in the state, just, I guess. Yeah.
And I think, from my understanding, I was looking at CASB Online, and they're looking for somebody to fill that spot.
Yeah.
So,
which would be Kit?
No, Kit is Southwest Security.
Okay.
So it's now the other firm, and so we said look for a minority firm.
Okay, I'm with you. Thank you for refreshing me. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
I think one thing just I'd like to clarify, at the meeting on March the 26th, I think that we would like, the financial advisor would like to present to the board, any numbers or refundings or anything prior to any of the underwriters, if possible. I think that's just the customary.
If I might, Mr. Chair, if you all look at that and then see what's your all's on the minority firm, possibly just write on a Friday packet, and then we could probably have them present that weekend. For that week in the March, we'll have both of them here just as we start looking at.
For March 26th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Well, I thought, Mr. Dubino, you wanted First Southwest first to present to us on the refunding possibilities.
I guess my question is, what do you want them to present? Just the credentials, right?
Yeah, is there a refunding possibility coming up already?
According to this presentation that they have.
We would have to review it because sometimes some underwriters, they put a lot of information in the scales haven't been reviewed, and sometimes they use very aggressive scales that, so we have to run the numbers to verify. I hadn't seen this today to verify that, and I'm not saying that they're not doing anything right. I'm just saying that because if they're in banking, they prepare presentations that seem very attractive, and I think we need to verify as your financial advisors. We have fiduciary responsibilities to the district to make sure that all the numbers that are presented to you are actually, savings potential.
Yes.
So basically, the March 26th would be a credential presentation and not necessarily any numbers.
That's for the big fundings, but if there is, if there is refunding, then we all get back.
Well, that's what we want to do at the March 26th. We want to come to with a general presentation to talk about your next bond, which would be a new bond and any refunding candidates as we normally do. I'm just advising that the underwriters do more of a credentials presentation versus a sales pitch.
And that's what we would have to go off our key lines.
All right, that's agreeable, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll recommend this to the board, guys. All right. Next agenda item. Back up to
agenda item 2A, roundtable discussion presented by Ms. Matthews to include item 1, pre-K through 8 campus. Item 2, Johnson control update. Item 3, district-wide bond project schedule updates. Item 4, proposed business outreach session. Item 5, proposed community outreach session. Item 6, rebundling. Item 7, draft development project budget. And item 8, security services.
All right. And we will then go down to the square table.
Yes, sir.
Facilities and Finance Committee in square circle.
In our square table meeting.
All right.
All right. Let's see here.
Go ahead, Adrian, sit over here. Why don't you guys sit over here?
So today I wanted to focus mainly on our roundtable. As you can see, we have Renee Jimenez here from MAK Architects and Al Loya.
Go ahead,
right there.
Just for the record.
And Al Loya here from Philo Wilkie.
All right.
And so so I just wanted to give a brief update on the pre-K through 8. We have a leadership meeting coming up on the 21st. Philo Wilkie. Carl Daniel is scheduled to turn in his 25% construction documents. He's currently printing We're going to be reviewing those. We have Jared Higgins from PSC on board. He's turned in his owner's project requirements, and we're moving along with the utilities. And so the pre-K through 8, it's moving along, and so far so good. That brings us to the Johnson Controls update.
Well, I have a few questions on PK through 8. Anybody? Uh-huh. No? All right. On the PK through 8, I'd like to, I know we brought this up when I put the item on the agenda with respect to the security issues in light mm-hmm. of what's been going on and what we need to start maybe preparing for district-wide is before we complete the construction documents 100%, with respect to issues like the doors, and I know our architect had said they were taking some of these things already into consideration, but I want to see that in the construction documents we have those issues, and maybe if we need to hire a security consultant, mm-hmm. that's part of the other issue that maybe we're going to take up about yes. doing here, mm-hmm. because right now is the time that we can do and maybe save some money right. in having to retrofit some of these mm-hmm. issues at mm-hmm. PK through 8 campus. So, and I'm talking in terms of the windows, the doors, mm-hmm. and anything else that might be able to be
right.
reconfigured if
right.
if we're going to do that at this time.
So,
and I think,
yeah.
you know, if we're going that way, that might be the campus that we do to start how our security issues
right.
are going to evolve district-wide mm-hmm. because it'll yes. be cheaper to do it from the get-go than right. retrofitting.
We'll definitely be focusing on like the perimeter fencing and the provisions for the security cameras. And when I was at TASA, I saw a presentation on like a security review of facilities, and one of the things that they focused on was they were doing a lot of remodels of the administrative areas, which is, you know, something that, of course, at several of our older campuses here, how to have control points and then releasing people to the other areas of the campus. And so one of the good things about Carl's design is that he has, you know, he has that in place where, you know, there's a controlled access area before people are released. And then the other thing to consider is if, you know, and this is kind of a district-wide thing, if you guys want to go to badge access controls instead of, you know.
That's the latest. Is the
that's the latest, yeah, is proximity readers.
Badge access, I'm not really for that.
Okay.
But I don't care. I'm not really yeah. against it either. But, you know, it's not cumbersome. It's very easy. You can have your system so well tuned that the badge can be in your pocket,
mm-hmm.
and you just walk in
yeah.
and out. And you know, it's not like you've got to take it out and run it through.
No,
it's an electronic reader.
Yeah, they know, and it's not cumbersome.
And you create like a real like badge culture. You know.
Yeah.
She's talking about
Miss Technology.
I
know.
Guys.
I am.
Adrian, you weren't supposed to point that.
I was just floored.
Actually, yeah, it has the chip on the
RFIDs,
yeah,
so yeah.
And it just, yeah, it's cool.
Okay, I'll make a note of that.
They are. Oh, I mean, they're really good.
That's something that the kids, you know, the pilot school, that one of the students actually filed, several students filed lawsuit against the school district
yes.
for. Because they issued a student ID to each one of them, they knew exactly where they were.
Or the RFID.
All the time, yeah. I don't know what the result of that lawsuit's
been
yet, but
if we were to implement it, it'd probably be only like access points or teacher areas. It wouldn't. Yeah, I know what you're saying. And then some of the students refused to.
Right.
Yeah, I heard.
And I don't know what the status of that suit's going ongoing suit is, but
they said they had a bunch of lawsuits coming from that. The reason that the children were actually saved in the long run was because the intercom was on, and so they knew where the guy was at. But now the parents are coming back and suing the district, saying because the intercom was on, you traumatized our children.
Traumatized a bunch of kids.
That didn't have to hear that, and that's going to be a key.
Yeah.
Sticky issue.
I know that Carl Daniels had coordinated and discussed with Ingersoll
uh-huh.
regarding the design. But I think what we're talking
about,
yeah, and I think there was a discussion as to having a pure security services firm to look at this, not just a security service like a security guard company, but a security assessment.
Yeah, like a consultant.
Consultant,
right.
Yeah.
He's probably not going to, I mean, is that something we want to entertain? Because I don't
yes,
know.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
Not as contract?
I think so.
Okay. And do we? Did you know somebody? Did you just?
We'd have to go out. I think there's several of them. Some in town, some out of town. But it's one of those hot issues that I think it's going to.
Does TASB do it?
So did you guys, is that, like, you guys want to do, like, an RFQ for a security consultant? Is that what I'm...
I think we need to recommend to the board at the next meeting.
I agree.
But...
If I may, we'll have for you, I think it's on the, it's in tomorrow's package. I will double check that we did, I had Mike Gonzalez go and do a security based on, you know, what we need for fiscal security. You know, as far as fencing, as low-tech as fencing, and things like that. So he showed it to me, and it's done. We needed to just bind it for you all. So I thought that would be a good start, because I had given that project about 6 weeks ago, like right when we got back in January. Okay, so we can give you that, and then... So then, yes, I think it would
definitely be a base for this company.
I just wanted to let you know that we were looking at things. We were looking at what, and then we're going to mesh it to see, has it been covered by some of the bond? Some of it has not. I know absolutely it has not. So, but it's just a preliminary base.
Yeah.
It's just so you know that we had boots on the ground looking at places, looking at doors, looking at, so...
Yeah, and I think but the other issue is also that we're probably going to need a consultant with a little more in-depth knowledge about district-wide.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And for that, I think we need to find out right now that we're coming up on budget time.
Okay.
Well, because we're not going to be able to do this district-wide deal. And what we may want to do is get our consultant to recommend stuff and then decide how deep we want to go and whether we want to pilot a program at one or two of the campuses. I don't know, but we need to at least get some kind of advice.
Yeah, because a lot of them are going to center around entranceway remodeling projects, you know, so.
Yeah.
And through the chair, I've done a couple of jails, including our county jail.
Yes.
And the interesting thing about, let's say, the level of security that you're trying to achieve is also the administration of that security.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
So you could have two jails.
Personnel.
That are constructed differently depending on how the sheriff wants to administrate his facility.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also interesting that as a district, you also need to see how you're going to coordinate
the security of emergency plans as well.
Not just the one pre-K through 8. We can do the physical stuff, but then the alarms and the
Yeah, because the other thing is,
the problem is
not who's the first responder.
That people can't get in, but to make sure everybody can get out.
And the other thing is that the last EOP that we had was probably in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I have him looking at that, too. And
so we probably need to update that.
We're in that process, okay? Yes, we are doing that. And we will bring that.
Or maybe 07, 06, 07, somewhere around
there. But what I can do is let me find when that is, because because we have to change. We've already, you know, changed the contact names, and then he's met with building principals to find out, to update call lists, and to, so also that went hand in hand with this other report. So let me see what has been done, and I could put like a little on a clip note tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, and then I can at least give you a synopsis of what we've
done. That's actually what we were supposed to have done last year, because it was the five-year, both the five-year plan update and the EOP. But last year, if you recall, during budget preparations, we had the 2011, when we had the, we couldn't plan because we didn't have the money. We had to let go.
Yeah.
That was
delayed for a year,
That's true.
Here we are.
Okay. Well, I think it won't impact too much of the design, but I think certain things need to be put into those construction documents.
Sure.
You know, doors, windows.
Okay.
Okay.
We can do that.
Okay.
And so are we thinking that we hire somebody like Quickly to come and look at our design to say, you know, you got too many corners, the killer can be here, or
no.
You know, all the kids get stuffed over here and they're, you know.
No, I think what we need the consultant to do is to look at our facilities the way they are now and tell us how best to implement a security plan.
Right. Specifically PK?
Yeah, specifically on the PK, do they need to get in here, look over our plans and say, yeah, this looks great?
Well, I think it's too late because we'd have to redesign it if he's asking for some major deal before we do that.
Right. The only thing that and I can tell you this from experience, you have solid core wood doors on all your classroom doors. They stop bullets because I've done some barracks at Fort Bliss, and sometimes they fire off a gun by accident.
Okay.
It stops a bullet.
What about solid the little doors. Window? Remember we talked about
we were going to do with
the little
wire
with
reinforced,
the
go back to the wired reinforced windows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Our skin is going to be concrete, so it'll stop a bullet. The other thing that they also try to do is they try to keep the parking like
so many
a certain
feet
distance
behind,
away.
Right.
I think it's like 80 feet, so we may look at that, yeah. I guess.
Okay.
So that you know that you have to travel 80 feet, or the explosion is 80 feet away.
I know.
Those are terrible things to consider.
Yeah.
But that's the things that come
well,
into
that's
what they call.
That's what they had to do. That's why I'm saying either the barriers or the embankments. You know,
yes.
Even you can do that as far as, believe it or not, as far as landscaping, you can do that as far as, you know.
You can do the big rocks.
But, yeah, the big rocks, the potting, you know.
Mm-hmm. But you know, but maybe some of the other projects that aren't as far along that we might be, maybe like CMS. I don't know how far we're along on that yet, but
we're pretty far along. We're just doing revamping the site because we've got the geotech.
Right. See, but that's not as complex as PK through 8, where it would be a complete total redesign. This is a
there's really not in the case of CMS.
The entryway is only a small part of
actually,
it, right?
Actually, their project is, that concept that I saw at TASA, their project is actually doing that because that's one of the things that the principal wanted. In other words, they're locking down their front doors and they're having that secured area where you check in.
Right.
So they're already integrating that concept into their project. And the other part of it is just classroom sizes doesn't really affect. They're securing that gap between the two buildings, so they're addressing that. And the parking lot, there's like nowhere.
Yeah, and you know what? And
so at least two of those concepts are already in there.
And that's one of those items that I think we really need to take up, the security between those two buildings, the two wings, is that we were thinking of doing, you know, some wrought iron deal right now or something to do that. I think we're probably better off to putting a wall to that. Eventually it can become a support wall,
right,
with that in mind, to actually do a classroom addition there.
Right.
So either a shell out or just a wall, something I think we need, and maybe we can get our architect to be working on something like that instead of just that,
right,
that wrought iron. I think the wrought iron is going to be a waste of money.
Right.
That fits four classrooms, I think.
Yeah.
If I'm not.
Well, I think what the principal had recommended was one side be a big multi-purpose room and one side be two classrooms.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's
yes.
it. Yeah. So.
Are we doing it?
Right now,
not
a
right
wall.
Now yet. No, it's we're not. But I think we need to take a look at it in the big picture rather than do just some kind of security fence, because that's just going to be a waste of time.
And
a couple years down the road, we're going to want to change that. And then.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I agree. We ought to
do more like a wall that can become a support structure for an addition. Actually, do a. I mean, I don't know how we could propose it. Maybe just do a shell out. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's a little difficult because you have to take into the structure of your roof that you're going to have in there. So you're going to have. They're going to have to redo that block and do building.
What if we actually do a proposed addition, and just do the shell?
Well, I think one comment for that is if you're going to do a shell out building, it's like, do you want a.
Join us.
I can just tell you, okay, I mean, we can put that on the table, but it's going to be an amendment to their contract, most likely.
No, clearly.
I mean,
clearly.
Just, you know.
Yeah. Clearly.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and we can definitely do that.
But it's within the purview, and I think. If we're going to spend a security issue on that, that's a waste of
that
money.
That is a big security. Right.
That is a big security issue.
But you'll have the same issue, just so you know. I guess the difference with AMS, with that anything that has a separate building.
Yeah. And these two are, those wings are just completely separate out.
They're absolutely.
You have a really horrible security issue there.
It's a terrible every issue.
Yeah. It is.
So do you want us to submit a fee proposal for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I think we should recommend that to the board for okay. Mark, for the.
Instead of putting up a gate or.
For next
yeah.
For next week.
Yeah, let the roof.
Yeah, do the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's
yeah.
Spend
money
on
the next.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it'd be a waste of money.
Huh?
Do you want it next week or do you want it for an additional, later board meeting?
I'd say next week.
Sooner the better.
Yeah.
If we
yeah, she's already far along on the plans.
No
it might as well
prices.
Get, if you think you can have a...
Is it a problem
to do a fee proposal or to do a conceptual layout?
Uh-huh. The conceptual layout.
Well...
No, it doesn't have to be next week.
Fee proposal.
A fee proposal.
Okay.
Yeah, like if you wanted, we could bring the fee proposal to the next board meeting.
I mean, I can
barring
do like
Tony
really
wanting to come
layout
in.
For you.
That's exactly.
That's all we want.
We're not looking for anything fancy.
Nothing
I think if
fancy.
You want just to
yeah. Just connect the two.
Yeah, I can show, you know, I can do that.
And then
you know, so
yeah.
That the roof connects and yeah. The walls connect and
do that and do a fee proposal.
Just function.
Uh-huh.
Just
and then for a board meeting down the road, we can have of what the proposal for the shell out what the cost would be
right.
When they get
okay.
Together with
okay.
Okay. I'm
and then see where we're going to find the money.
Functional, not
yeah.
Decorative.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we never know. I mean, it's good to have the fee proposal. The security company might come in, security services company might come in and say, well, you could do something different. Maybe they have a different solution as well.
Right.
You know? But at least we keep our options open and know what the cost is at this point.
Right.
And, you know, something to think about, too. We're about to hit a new budget year.
Yeah.
So we can budget for that. And, you know, I think that band room down there cost, I want to say it was $500,000.
Yeah, back when we built it.
It's not going to be a whole lot more than that. We could fund that ourselves. Probably.
We might be able to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
And we might have some recapture money, right, Annette, from this year's budget? Maybe?
Yes.
A little bit?
Maybe.
Don't forget me.
Yes.
I'm looking at that.
I like her shaking her head over
the and we just saw some refunding money unless those bankers were just
Josh and
really
you.
Blowing
but, Josh and you.
But that's INS, not Stun MNO.
Oh. Well somewhere it can
somehow. Our first timeline to reach the start recapturing funds is March 30th for the 6300s.
Okay.
And
so we'll know by then.
Yes.
More
yeah.
Or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's needed to be done for
yeah.
A long time since
yeah.
It was built.
Yeah, and it has quite a bit.
You know, the other thing you could do is some sort of just screen wall to connect the two and leave the back open.
Yeah.
No?
That's the way the wind blows and all that dirt will just blow.
Yeah,
right
we'll
in
do,
there.
Then we'll have a cleaning issue.
Yeah.
Some
you,
of
want
weeks.
You want the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just make it look like, the, you know, just another box. Just
connect the walls.
Yeah.
Two classrooms on one side and a multi-purpose room on the other side.
Or
maybe
some storage, or
storage or restrooms in
there.
They
have
no
storage.
Or
cost money.
Or a set, maybe a set of restrooms there would be good.
They do cost money.
Yeah.
And
restrooms do cost money.
Yeah. Well, but think about it. There's none there
how
except
far
the,
you have to go?
The far end of the other side.
I know.
Make them run.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
okay.
Run.
They do.
Ready to go.
Oh okay. Does right. Anybody have anything else before we go to Johnson Controls?
Anybody else? PK through 8?
Have there been
no.
Any meetings with, I know the congressman, there was some proposal that they would get together on, I guess there was some artwork that was going to be placed in somewhere there. Has that happened yet? No?
No, I don't think I've heard of that.
I talked to Junior the other day. He didn't mention it.
He didn't mention it?
No. I mean, I'm sure for the groundbreaking, but...
Because they were having some art done for that
who's
campus.
Who's that? Carl Daniel?
No.
Who?
Congressman Reyes.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, some historic type of Congress work, artwork.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Him and his wife, I think it's two separate portraits. But
okay.
Just to have the, you know, maybe inlets for it.
Okay.
So that
all
way
right.
It's
that would
pretty
be cool.
Cool.
Yeah, we could do
yeah.
That. Yeah, that sounds good.
And some lighting.
You know, one of the other things we failed to mention to our architect on the for the actual stadium, and that's an alternate, so maybe that's it's still within time to do that, is that the Veterans Stadium is actually do some kind of a what do you call
a
it?
Memorial?
A memorial stone or something to reflect the and maybe even have the names of the veterans that have served from
Penitia.
Well, that'd be a granite stone wall
or something like that. Yeah. We could make sure that we put that in the alternate, I think.
That'd be really nice.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like a really interesting idea.
One of our board members who was our founder, actually, what plan we had was to try and do what was called a, the Hall of Honor or something like that. And part of that was to all the veterans had served in the war, or any war, rather, and do a, what was called the Walk of Honor or something like that. We were going to do it at the high school where we had that circle, that semicircle at the plaza.
Yeah.
But we ran out of
money
at that time, and so we never got to do it there. But that's where we had planned to do it. Maybe we can do something at the PK through 8.
You like the idea?
The huge Congressman Reyes signs. That we're doing there. I wonder if they could engrave names into it.
Oh, that would be cool. That
would be an idea. Wow. Are those steel or are those stone?
We haven't really got that far. But I was assuming it was going to be some kind of a
stone,
a metal.
Cement.
Metal.
Metal.
Oh, metal.
Because of the...
That'd be great because they were supposed to be even rusted over time.
Yeah.
Some of the metal.
I think it would be better, though...
At the stadium?
Mm-hmm. And their own thing. I mean,
it's
their own
separate
thing.
From the congressman?
I think we should put some kind of a granite wall or granite.
It's such a long
side. I know.
That is long. Yeah.
But I think
like shade plants behind it or
can
something.
Can you stack his name and make it smaller?
But I think a granite monument with all the names of the district veterans would be.
I want that so much.
That's a great idea.
You know, I think that we could even think about... looking at doing a fundraiser or something for that. You know, we could...
There's plenty of great veterans in the area.
There's plenty of ways we can do it, too. Because I bet it's not going to cost us more than $50,000, $70,000. We could figure a way.
Well, let's find out.
Our estimating team.
Yeah.
You're good at that.
Let's find out first and see what...
I like to spend money. I do this well.
All right. PK through 8. Anybody else?
No? Okay.
Anybody, Mr. Rodriguez?
No.
Nothing? PK through 8?
No.
Nope.
I had one other issue.
Oscar?
Jennifer's helping me push the architect on the dirt work package.
Yes.
When we moved the buildings 20 feet up and 5 foot over, the everything shifted except the final civil engineer dirt didn't shift with it. So he has to redo it. We're pushing him to redo that. That's the only thing that's holding us up at this point.
Okay.
When do you expect that earthwork package?
We're hoping to get that probably with these 25% drawings.
With these 25% drawings.
We'll check him again, but he's done it a couple of times and he still hasn't shifted the dirt with the buildings.
Yeah. I have a bad question to ask. That dirt's not there really for the flood control, is it?
It was a long time ago, remember?
Yeah.
Before they did all those
so
changes.
So it's not anymore?
It's useless now.
Okay, thank you.
It doesn't apply.
I started thinking, oh my God, suppose we moved that dirt and that was really the flood control and we've just ruined it for ourselves.
Across the street, is it not?
Yeah, it's been totally re-engereared and moved back.
So we're safe.
It's an impressive structure.
Oh, yeah, you're not even in the floodplain anymore, remember?
They took it, and which is a good thing that we don't have to use any of our grounds for that.
No ponding. Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, so Johnson Controls.
Yes.
Just so you can those around.
All right.
So we met Mike and I preliminarily, and after that I went to this is kind of a work in progress. This is a draft. Then I went to all the summer school meetings with Pam Fierro, and I was hoping that like Johnson Controls would get like 6 weeks per school or 8 weeks. And when I plugged it all into the schedule, taking into account because custodians and the time that they have to clean each campus is like everyone is very hypersensitive as far as the principals make sure that everyone's ready, and justifiably so. So we were coordinating how everyone would rotate, right? So there's going to be the equivalent of an energy shutdown. In other words, there's going to be these moves. But instead of an energy shutdown, Johnson Controls would come in. So basically what this is, it's like two blocks of construction. The first block is June 13th through July 11th, in which there's no activity construction at CES, DDE, and CMS. And then the second block from July from July 15th to August 8th with no construction at BCE, GES, and JDE. Now, in order to get all of these campuses in and to fit enough time for cleaning, you can only fit in 1 month, which is like a ridiculously little amount of time, as Mike has pointed out to me. But even having multiple, so I submitted the draft and he's submitting the rebuttal. But what we're hoping is, so this is our first round. Now we're waiting, all the subcontractors are out and they're gonna turn in their plans and their staffing and their capabilities. I mean, we're gonna have more than one contractor, but they're turning it in on the 18th. So then Johnson Controls is going to regroup, come up with the plan after they have their information from the subs and our information from this, and we're going to come up with a revised plan. We're meeting on the 25th to finalize our schedule and to present it in leadership. But as you can see, there's probably going to be a few campuses like AMS, like the admin building, facilities, and the portables, where we might get to a little later. But we're working on the schedule really tightly, and our goal is for Johnson Controls to present in the March board meeting, right, with all of their numbers and everything. We also have some things lined up for the community as far as presenting the scope of work, you know, in the March subcommittee meeting, CBAC, the leadership with the principals. And so one of the things I want to talk about is just, like, public perception and, like, rumors or what people understand mechanical systems to be. For example, I realized that amongst like the teachers that when they hear cooling, they also think heating, you know? And so that's not necessarily the case. Or for example, some areas in the proposed scope of work have new ductwork, but not all areas. You know, some have the existing that are remaining. Which means that just because you get a new cooling also doesn't mean you're going to get a new ceiling. A lot of people were under the impression they would get a new ceiling, you know? So, now, part of their work is building envelope, building insulation and windows. So if they put in insulation, like, for example, some of the complaints that we get is like, well, this is a cinder block wall. So I feel that the impression is that people are thinking that, like, oh, they're going to fur out and it's going to look like this inside their cinder block wall. But just because they do an envelope improvement, that's not going to happen. They may put it in the ceiling.
Outside.
And it's really, so they will still have cinder block walls. The other thing is part of the envelope improvements are, you know, one of the line items in the bond was windows. So because this is a energy weatherproofing kind of project, it doesn't necessarily mean, I feel that some people are expecting new windows. Part of the proposal is maybe going to be like weatherproofing or tinting windows. You know, it's not necessarily the inclusion of new windows. So I feel that, I mean, from an energy savings perspective, Johnson Controls will provide that. And from addressing, like, the things in the bond, they will. But I just want to make sure that, like, that because even our own maintenance team is like, you know,
they want new windows. They want.
Well, you know. So I'm trying to say. Right. And so that's what I'm trying to do by, like, saying this here this evening, by Johnson Controls presenting at the leadership to explain some of these things to the principals, just so that the expectation is aligned, because I want everybody to know beforehand so that after it's built, people don't.
Yeah,
you know, so that the community is. Understanding
of
what we're doing.
I think you just set the expectations by campus, and you know, Ms. Brigham can definitely, you know, communicate that to each campus, that this is what the bond is paying for per campus, and it means exactly this from Johnson Controls. It means improvements. Now, what do improvements mean? In layman's term, I think when you start to talk about envelope improvements, you start to lose people. I mean, you lose me, but I know what it means. You know?
What I can do is I could, yes. You tell me, I can translate it.
I can translate it.
Well, say, they're going to tint the windows. They're going.
Mike
to
is
going to
swing by because the thing is with Johnson Controls, their summer projects. And the other thing about this is that this is great for our other bond projects because really all these downtimes not only work for Johnson Controls because while they're there, we'll be doing the parking lot at CMS and other stuff. But So what we're hoping is that not in this February leadership, but in the March leadership with all the principles and everything, that Mike will present, and then right after he presents, we'll present the schedule, and then it'll lead into my custodial expectations, which is another thing that I need to talk about. So, and then after that, when we talk to the five shortlisted contractors, we'll be able to tell them, hey, Johnson Controls has, like, blocked off all this time, which is great because, you know, maybe we can use it to our advantage and it has, like, multi.
Just make sure you tell all the, you know, the people who it really matters to, the teacher that thought she was getting new windows that, no.
They're present to the faculties.
You know, that.
Yeah. I think the principal should definitely communicate to the teachers because that's where most of the
trouble is. That's the trouble. It doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
Yes. That it gets lost in leadership. Yeah. And
do by Canvas if we need to do
that would be so wonderful.
Well, in fact, we have one meeting already at a campus at Canutillo High School on March the 12th. I just set that one up this morning. We're doing one at the high school to present with their staff, with their door hangers, and explain to them the project at their regular staff meeting on March the 12th. So we have one at the high school to take care of that project, but, you know, we haven't, you know.
You know, I could go to that and I could see what we could skim off for the others.
Right. So okay.
The ones who told you that they thought they were getting new ceilings,
uh-huh.
Do they need new ceilings?
Well, it's CMS, yeah. I mean, they need a lot of things.
They need a whole new school.
I mean, you know.
It's not going to CMS.
I mean, they see Mike coming, and they're like, can we get a new office furniture? I mean, I'm like, it doesn't work
out. You know, as weird as and as simple as it is, my wife is at one of the campuses. As long as it's cool in the summer and warm in the winter, you're going to get very little. As long as the work is done and done well, I think you'll get very little. And you communicate ahead of it, you'll be fine.
But, I mean, are there any, like, you know, I'm looking around up here, these ceiling tiles look okay. When you look around up there, are they, like, mold and corroded?
No, CMS is just yellow and sagging. Well, no, you know, I mean, it's just, I know what you mean. Like, you're like, yeah, whatever, you know, like. You know,
I mean, I'm looking
fine.
At this. This is
well, this is the boardroom, Miss Searles. We make sure this place looks good at all times. Are you kidding me?
Except but,
that's. I was going to ask Johnson Controls.
Can you go look at that?
I mean, yeah,
that was bad.
It's on this building's on the list.
Yeah, this room back here. Yeah.
We about died last week.
Executive session gets no air.
Okay.
But you know, I wondered, Jennifer, do you see like where, you know, in your budget? I know you've got. Funds,
uh-huh.
Whether they're already assigned is, I don't know. And the new budget that's coming as of July 1st has funds.
Right.
When you look at CMS and go through these classrooms, do you think, you know, classroom A is, this is pathetic, this isn't even healthy, people shouldn't even be in here.
No, it's fine.
You know, throw them $1,000 and get some new ceiling tiles.
No, I wouldn't. Because it's not just the ceiling. If you're going to put in a new ceiling, and a big area is getting a new ceiling through M&K's project, they have that entire wing that's all getting new ceilings. And at CMS is the most intensive as far as Johnson Controls project is concerned. So in fact, their project, anywhere where they're getting new ductwork, they're getting new ceiling. So between Renee's project and Mike's project, a large portion of their campus will have received a new ceiling.
So is there only a quarter of it left that's got the crummy ceiling?
We'd have to go back and look at it.
Because they didn't place the tiles. And you're talking, right?
Yeah,
just those, that.
I know they
popped in. I don't know. I'd have to look because I know when they were doing that. When was that? Let's see. It was at AMS. They were doing it too. So it had to have been at least 08, 09.
Yeah.
So I'd have to check because I know at 08, 09, they had gone through and they replaced all of them. So.
Okay, so as early as 08, 09,
yeah,
they were all replaced?
Since AMS came into, because that's what spawned it, because we had, we got the old CMS. And Monica and I were talking, and then that next year we got all our ceiling tiles replaced. So
they're not the ones that have been there since 1994?
No. And a matter of fact, we had a big issue in that. We both had to get lifts sometimes. And It was, our people had to do it. That's the only reason why we totally remember that. Mm-hmm. Because it was a big job. We had to schedule people.
So another thing to take into consideration as far as this district-wide project is that if we're going to do it, which is why Mike is presenting in March, we need to do it, we need to get his contract like out on time so that we can do it during the summer so we can time it well. That's one. So he'll be presenting in March. The other thing is we have a fee proposal from PSC because we'll need the third party. So in March we'll be taking Mike and PSC. And then the other thing, which was kind of sad to me, was just that the fact that, like, you know, our mechanical systems are tanking, and then, you know, Mike is coming in on time, but I don't really see how he's going to be able to get there before June 13th. So maintenance will have to spend some money to take care of equipment. You know, like, if they were able to start, like, now, they could catch it before the heat wave, yeah. You know? So it's like, dang it.
So
anyways, that's just a side comment.
Our air conditioners are going to have to be revitalized.
Because I'm like, I'm sorry, but it's just like, just let them keep complaining just a couple more weeks. Cause, no. I mean, not that I really do that. I mean, I don't really do that. I don't really do that, okay? But, you know, because what happens is the unit dies. Then I buy a master coil, and then, like, he shows up in June.
Yeah, and it's wasted money.
Yeah, and it's terrible, but it's going to have to. So I told him just buy the minimal parts just to, like, keep them humming along, and then.
I think it's just the course of doing business.
And I was just like, oh, crap. Anyways, but that's in a fantasy world.
That's
mean,
that gray tape that you use.
Yeah,
great tape.
So, you know.
All colors.
All colors.
You get orange and blue.
So, no, I mean, it's going well. No, I mean,
I'm really glad that you're taking that into account because I see it all the time in the warrant list and I keep thinking, why don't we keep fixing these things? We're going to rip them all out. But right. The obvious is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else? I mean.
No, that's it. I mean, you covered it. The big things we, you know, will be bringing back pricing and alternatives to staff, looking at cost-benefit analysis on equipment solutions. So, again, as we've said all along, this is a very collaborative effort. We'll be working directly with Jennifer and her staff and presenting information and making decisions.
And Mike is also going to, you know, of course, because, you know, money continues to be an issue, so like any other project, he's going to have alternates. And I know that at least some of his alternates are. One alternate we're point blank please want to include is the heating in the area that M&K is remodeling because they have those base heaters, so as they move the walls. So we didn't want to give the impression that, like, we redid everything, but we've still got this heater. So Johnson Controls is proposing to provide the heat in the area where the new project is. That's like one. And then another one is the power in the plenum versus on the roof. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, like, when you put the power on the roof, if you ever re-roof, which you're going to re-roof, it's just like, it's a lot cheaper, it's a lot less disruptive, but it's, you know,
it's a pain at the re-roofing.
Yeah.
No, it is. And we'll be bringing both solutions.
And the cost.
And the cost and everything, and timeline associated with each solution.
Right.
Back, and again, I mean, we're just going to present it as an alternate. That's one of those things. That's what we're talking about. You know, it becomes a cost-benefit analysis, and we'll present that information for a decision to be made.
Okay.
And the other one to think about is Lone Star. You know, how much money do you want to continue to put into that building? And then also, if you want to continue to put money into that building, but then if you don't, it's not about who's occupying. It's just the building itself, you know. So how? Just these are just things to think about, you know.
There's like 42. Warehouse. I believe there's 42 units sitting on Lone Star.
And honestly,
42?
I don't.
42.
Thank you.
They're the window 40, units. 42. Am I correct?
There's 42 units in Lone Star.
Oh my God! I have no idea.
On the roof? Visual?
Yeah.
I
don't
know. I think that was the number. I'll go back and check. I have to go back and refresh my memory, but
so
it was a larger number than I expected.
We have to do something with that at some point, but you're right.
And I think last year is when we had that spout
Well, yeah, see, so let's talk about that. See, there's other things, like, for example, we rerouted the gas line to get that. And then another thing that's, like, on my facilities list for the budget, they're like, well, we need a new PA. We don't have it. Well, they want a different PA system independent from CES. So it's like, do we want to put more air conditioning money, plumbing, you know, PA money? Like, do you want to bring it fully back into a
functional campus?
It's not, there's no way it can.
So
that's just really awkward.
Yeah.
This is the word for it.
Awkward.
How many students are there?
DAEP?
Uh-huh.
Oh, at any given time. Okay, right now there's 32 high school and there's 6 middle school. I mean, there could be 8 middle school, but it's...
So the question is, like, it's not that many. I mean,
it could be. The highest it gets is, I think our capacity is at 40.
Is there anywhere... Well, I don't know, but that's just
some... They have to be separate. You have to understand. No, they can't be. It has to be separate. It has to be separate.
When you come to the support services center. Yeah, sure. Work is always good for the mind. anyways, it's just a thought. That's going to be another alternate that Johnson Controls is going to propose.
Yeah,
so
we'll keep that as separate prize.
Yeah, that's something we really need to discuss at length sometime.
Okay. Okay. So well, our next item is schedule.
Hold on, just a second. Let's, you guys have any questions on the?
No.
Okay, I do. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see us move quickly on getting the plans for so we can start in the summer as soon as possible.
Okay.
Whatever it takes, okay. Let's.
Let's do it.
Full speed ahead. Mm-hmm. The other issue is, what about the high school? Why haven't we started there? We've already approved that.
We have been, they have submitted all the reviews to Park Hill Smith Cooper. He's reviewed them. He released the letter today. We have the meeting on the 12th.
Why not earlier? Let's. The 12th is 3 weeks, month away.
Today's like the 12th.
Yeah.
Can you guys
start quicker?
Yeah,
they can start quicker. Yeah. They were actually holding back on me, to tell you the truth.
Let me tell you why. Because I don't want. I mean, if we can do that now, I don't want them having to deal with the high school when we get ready to start in June and let's full speed ahead. So, I want to take advantage of the summer because I don't want them.
Right. Well.
Yeah.
They need to finish the rest of the district wide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
just wanted them to present to the high school because one of the things, like what happened in the security room where they hit the joystick and people think that, like, you know, who's been in my room, and then we have to so I wanted everyone on the campus to know.
We can have a special meeting.
So I can ask Ms. Salvaggio.
And I think it's a very good meeting. It really is, just for the issues.
Yeah.
Just so they kind of set expectation level and make them understand if there's issues, you know, who to contact, and so it's a very, very valuable.
But I don't want to lose a month.
It's going to be less time consuming.
No, not a month.
Yes, I apologize. That's me. Yeah, I put it with their next regular staff meeting, and I'll move it up to a special meeting.
Is Jennifer, just have get with Ms. Alvaggio and just make it a one item.
A one item special staff meeting.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be short.
Do you know what I mean? And then we just do it right then and there. Yeah.
Next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're ready. I mean,
They're ready. They're ready. It was real.
If you guys are ready,
it is going to be a good meeting to have and to communicate.
I think we do need to communicate it because it's you know, a large staff and
because it freaks people out because it's like.
I know.
Okay, what we're going
to
do is
just put their noses in their books, get to work, and don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll put the girls on the agenda.
Yeah.
To your work.
I'm sorry. I was putting it with their regular staff.
I hear you,
meeting,
but I mean, I
yeah,
want them.
I agree.
I want
it's
a summer deal. I
yeah,
want
I
it.
Know.
I mean, as soon as we can hit it, and maybe we can avoid having to do maintenance on our, if we can get them going.
Oh
quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's spearhead that. I mean, ramrod it through for the summer projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm okay.
So look at next week and no later than the 19th. So no later than that Tuesday of the following week. Because they could already have, and the only reason why I'm saying
because I know we have Telpass and Alpac, and we already have something. So that's why I'm just saying.
Not next week, but the following week.
No later than that Tuesday of the following week. So that gives them, you know, 7 days that they can look if you tell them tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll get on it. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, the sooner we start,
yeah,
the better.
Yeah, we appreciate you being flexible. Thank you.
It's true. Yeah.
What about at Northwest? Any issues over there?
No. The one thing I need to verify is y'all are actually paying the utility cost or not. I've got to verify that because I know it's a different arrangement. And you're not, right?
We're not.
Right. That's why we.
Right. And so we kind of
everything's
fine. And so we're kind of, again, that's one that's going to be kind of pushed off.
Oh.
Because.
That's great.
Yeah, because it really can't generate any savings to y'all. Is y'all aren't paying the bills.
No, so
yeah.
It's
pretty hard to pay your zero.
Yeah,
but we don't want to go put.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Electricity sucking mechanical stuff over there, and they say, hey, wait a minute.
Trying to pull some extension cards up.
I mean, this is going to be a new facility.
Nice.
We don't want to.
A new facility is going to be nice.
Yeah.
I see a vision going.
So.
Yeah. No, but it's going well. We've been meeting regularly.
What? These are 5-seater.
Yeah.
Hope you like it.
Yeah.
And, we have had a good meeting.
And they gave us some facility standards to work on our new projects, and it's been good. We're humming along.
Okay. So. Anybody else? Mike?
No, sir.
Anybody?
No.
All right.
We're good.
Yeah. Good.
I have one question.
Yes.
Is the geothermal working at the high school?
Yes.
It works.
Yes.
Okay. As expected as...
Well, I mean, it's not... I mean, it's going to be a lot more efficient once we implement, obviously, but yeah, it's functioning.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, their cooling is based off of the geothermal, and it works. It's going to be a lot better, but it works.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, what does that get you to make it work? What are the next steps?
The things that are happening at the high school, there's basically three facility improvement or four facility improvements. We're doing a little bit of water retrofit, mm-hmm. which to generate a little bit of savings. We're doing lighting retrofits to meet the industry standards. Every classroom will take light readings before and light readings after, so and document with staff that it does meet the standards. So that'll occur. On the HVAC side, we're installing control systems that will allow you to make sure that system is auto functioning the way it should be, and then we're replacing valves and balancing that system. We'll also be flushing that system, getting all the contaminants out of it that's been
putting
an issue,
filters.
And mm-hmm. getting everything. You've got some energy recovery wheels in there that aren't functioning right. There's some issues there that we'll be tying those into control so that the efficiency of that system will come up. The comfortableness of the facility itself will be much better. Nice. And so we're real excited about that. So it's going to be a real neat project.
So the geothermal side is working. It's just
but it, I mean, if it didn't work, yeah. if it yeah. didn't work, the phone calls this, would be like off the hook.
This
like,
part
it
of what Johnson Controls
just,
doing is what we ran out of money that we couldn't get done at the high school.
Yeah.
One of the things we're going to try to see, and again, I'm going to throw it out there. One of the things we're hoping to be able to do is put an actual kiosk in that high school as part of phase two, and so it actually shows some of how that. Students can see
like
how
a little Toyota green leaf
how it functions.
But and that would be great. You know, we have a career at it's energy management class.
Oh, really? Okay.
And that really would be a nice.
Well, we're going to try to make sure we can deliver that to that building because with that system it lends itself well to.
Yeah, the high school can very easily be electronic. Okay, next.
The next is just a slight update. So all the architects are getting ready, and right now what we're thinking is that on March the 8th, we'll have a pre-submittal meeting with the five subcontractors, show them our rebundling, which we'll go over in a second. March 20th, last day for questions with the proposals due on April the 8th. And probably take it to a special board meeting to shortlist. But I just wanted to tell you guys that we're more or less on track. Pre-K through 8 leadership meeting, we've reviewed the projects with IT. We've gotten their estimates. We've met with VMAC. We have their estimates. The surveys and soils testing is coming to an end. We're getting together with them on with NCON on the 21st to review their structuring for their construction materials testing district-wide, and to talk with VMAC a little bit about that. So we'll be bringing that to the board hopefully in March and April. We'll be sending hopefully our drawings to SCORE, which is a program with the electric company, for them to do another review. So I just wanted to let you know we're with this original schedule, which I didn't have time to update, but we're it wasn't pretty enough to print, but we're tracking. So we're doing good. And just to let you know, our plans for the round two of the contractors that were coming up. So
when is that taking place, the CMR phase two?
March 8th, the pre-submittal meeting, which I haven't sent the invite out yet. Okay. So.
Anybody? Lauren?
No.
I have a question. I don't remember we recommended to the board to suspend the policy for the PK38.
Uh-huh.
And a deadline. At what time on the schedule are we that we're going to have to decide the color scheme for the school?
Oh, well, actually,
so that the color palette can be taken into account in the construction documents.
That's our next agenda item, because you know what? I was talking with Gustavo about the envisions, and so we have several ideas. One was, like, on all the construction sites, Gustavo was going to put, like, you know, these signs that say, like, hey, coming soon, this summer, la, 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 whatever. And then when you're done with the bond project, we put that big check mark on it, because that would be a good, like, photo op for the envisions. The other one was for his envisions. He was going to ask for people to send in recommendations for school colors and mascots.
Let's do that.
And then the third thing was, so with this, maybe I'm thinking that at the end of May or early June that we'll have a few groundbreakings for some of the district-wide bond projects, not the pre-K3. Right. Yeah. What?
I was going to say it's not for pre-K3.
The pre-K3, we're kind of dealing separately, but for the other projects that some of the other architects here are working on. So those are the three things, and I don't know when Envisions goes out. You probably know more about when the Envisions goes out.
Well, now that we have a new person.
That's right, our webmaster.
Web guy.
Yeah.
I was going to say Master Web.
Him too.
Yeah, him too, yeah. So the Envisions, actually, they're working on it now. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about this is around the corner.
Yeah.
Within the next 3 weeks, at the most, that Envisions should be.
So we could probably include a deadline for the submissions for the colors and mascot ideas. So.
When would you need to be at the latest notified of that?
Oh, they could have a month, 6 weeks. It's not
a month
to
2 months.
We still.
So
we could do some fun things on the website for that.
Yeah, because if you send it, I'm sure people are going to draw stuff. You know, it'll just be fun.
It would be a great thing for the kids to be able to get some input.
My recommendation is the pelicans.
Pelicans, bird of prey.
Fly, pelican, fly.
Unless you're a fish.
I think the recommendation was a red-tailed hawk.
We do get pelicans here.
We do, the white ones. We do.
Are they truly pelicans?
Yes. They're truly pelicans.
And they're the biggest of all the pelicans.
And we also get those, what do you call it, those seagulls.
Oh, tons of them.
Yeah.
Especially when you go to the dump in the racetrack Saturday morning, they do. And cranes. Got a lot of scorpions. Scorpions. It has to be a bird of prey, unfortunately. Oh, sorry. Well, I do believe it needs to be a bird. Excuse me for a second, Adrian, take over.
I'm gonna go to real quick.
Okay.
Because the scorpions love the rocks up there.
They can be roadrunners. We have roadrunners.
There's a roadrunner.
Don't we have a
roadrunner?
No, we don't have.
There is a roadrunner's school mascot.
Oh, I know, but not here. No. But I love roadrunners.
I love them too.
Mm-hmm. There's a school in Las Cruces that has.
Yeah, I have.
Matthew, what's up next?
So, the fair control is cordially invited to have
dinner. Have you ever come on here? I like the red tail.
Like there was a big giraffe. I walked in the room one day and there was the mother.
All right.
She looked at me and I thought, just do this.
So one of the reasons that the date for the pre-solicitation meeting with the contractors is on the 8th is because everything is due from the architects on the 1st. And so that gives us some buffer because, you know architects. But anyways, so Friday, March 1st, we're planning on throwing this little event, this business outreach session, with the El Paso Hispanic Chamber of Commerce at Great American Land and Cattle. And what it's designed for is we'll invite the architects and we'll invite the five shortlisted. And it's basically an opportunity to get in touch with all of our subs from around here, tell them the work that's coming out, the opportunities, how they can go about it. Hey, meet our GC. This is how it works. And
the Great American out there?
Yes, on Chili Valley Road. Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay.
Not Cattleman's. I think I accidentally said that once, and I really freaked somebody out. No, the one right here.
We're going to Cavens.
We're
doing a website once so we can hope to get the kind of team, contractors and tradespeople.
Right.
Okay.
So what we're gonna,
because everybody wants to know when the work's coming out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What we're thinking is that like Ron could distribute that to all of our Oscar's excellent of going through a list of all our Tri-State Electric, V&R Drywall,
Castillo.
What we could do is process payments. We could insert for those that type of vendor. We can insert them.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to so all the local
connected,
right? And so another thing that Al brought up, which I thought was pretty interesting, was we're struggling a lot with one contractor who's been in a lot of email recently as to how to process a pay app. And so a lot of these smaller contractors don't really know how to do the paperwork. And so I don't know if this is maybe something we would want to do down the line, but to help some of the smaller ones out, hey, this is a pay application. When you bill, it can only total 100%. This is something that we would do, which I'm just telling you. To standardize, you want to talk a little about some of your ideas? Because it's just been a struggle.
Yeah, the problem that we have is and we're going to have it more as we go into this multiple projects, because there's a lot of things going to happen here in the next year, in the coming year, is that, we're getting a lot of work in Fort Bliss, for example, the hospital, the stuff with the fountains, and other projects are coming up. What's actually happening is that our subcontractor base, and not only just the subcontractors, but their employment is going to be, saturated with a bunch of work, and so they're going to be diluted. They're going to be pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
All these big contractors, because they need all this work, are going to take their workers. So there's going to be people, subcontractors, that have a company but don't have any employees because they got taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we need to do, and my idea in talking to Oscar and everybody else, is to try and make it in a way where a smaller contractor, mom and pop type of shop, which do good work, problem is that they just need more time, and for them it's more of a problem trying to do that work because they're not sophisticated contractors. They can process paperwork, use pay applications.
Yeah.
All this kind of deal, and it could just be a simple form that could be, they could fill out even by hand, submit, and be done. All that we're really concerned with is that the numbers are right and the product that's deliverable, the deliverables are good and good quality. And I think that that's what scares a lot of the good subcontractors that are smaller, is that just the paperwork and the capacity of having to deliver these big projects.
And
so I think if we cut them up into smaller areas where, they can deliver them and deliver a better deal, I think it's much better. Now, for example, the contract that we have right now, the elementary, I got fed up.
Yeah,
finally brought them into my office and I did the pay application the schedule of values and I,
For example, I open up the email and you bill for percentage, right? And then you look across and it's he's billing 1,500%. But because it's the worst possible combinations. There are companies that are local, they're good, they do good work, but they're not paperwork savvy, and they also have they're short on cash flow, and that's the worst possible combination, because we can't pay them because they don't know how to do the paperwork, and then they get all frustrated and they like run out of money because they need, you know, they are on
they
a short
a liquid,
turnaround,
they need a liquid.
And it's just like,
so
everyone, because
And one of the things that I
just let me vent. No, I'm just kidding.
You have a streamlined method of doing it so that the contractor submits. Let's say just like out in the private world, you know, contractor submits his pay application. Like let's say on the 28th, 29th of the month, architect reviews it. It doesn't take as long to review it, a day or so. We process it, get it back in, and so you guys can pay him before the 10th. Of the following month, so that the process gets expedited, gets quick, and they get money in their hands so they can continue to keep working, because they don't have the ability to finance a project.
Right.
They really don't. And the way it looks now, I mean, these contractors are getting paid 30 days, 40 days.
It has nothing to do with, it's like a back and forth with them trying to, because we have to be able to account for it, you know, and it has to be, you know, so... So anyways, what we're thinking of is like, for subs, here's your checklist, here's your form, you can fill it out by hand, you can fill it out whatever, here's like your package, every time you want a payment, you need to, and so that's something that we would be working on.
Yeah, something
to reduce the hand-holding.
As a partial waiver, lien waivers, just have a form where they fill it out, the amount, and the guy signs it.
Let me give you an example of participation versus limited participation. CF Jordan is doing the CM at risk for UTEP, where they're making everything pedestrian friendly and taking out all the streets. So they have a project about $300,000 that they said we want trade proposals on. You had to submit, I think it was 5 forms prior to your bid for what they call pre-qualification, and there was 38 pages to fill out. There was 3 people that participated, Bain Construction Company, Hawk Construction Company, and we looked at it just for interest, just to see what's out there. Yet PSB put out a drainage structure and some other, and there was 17 bids. So it's the more user-friendly you are, which this district is, the more participation we're going to get, and the better prices we're going to get. And that's how we're trying to enlighten the board about
it. I do have a question about this, though. We had a painter, and I won't mention their name. You know exactly who they are.
Uh-huh.
And this concept was used, obviously, with the painter. The one painting.
Oh, which concept?
Use the mom and pop contractor. They had the like the mom, the pop, and the 3 kids all painting.
Well, the problem is they didn't have enough kids.
Well,
I mean,
I know. And so, that was a major problem. Nobody was happy.
Yeah,
nothing. You know, the end result was okay, but the misery in the middle was not worth.
Yeah,
the small savings.
Right.
That we came up with in the end, and I don't want to see that replicated.
No,
I don't think it's because of the savings. What we're trying to say is to be able to get the project staffed and accomplished. UTEP's coming up with a bunch of work too. So I mean, there's a lot of work coming out, and everybody. And I just see the market in the next year or so. It's going to be tough to get a lot of the subs.
But that project was a 3 quote process. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't bid, like these projects are going to be bid, like, you know, you have to get a bond, like, so it wouldn't be mom and pop down to just mom and pop like that company.
Okay. We had it, there were issues, there were problems, it was not fun.
I did, I called his mom.
We don't want to overload them with paperwork, but at the same time we want to demonstrate that if you
it's not to that extreme of mom and pop.
But you still hold us.
Yeah.
It's streamlined so they can get paid.
Yes.
The more that they see that we pay quicker, the more response we're going to get to.
What you're going to do is it's kind of twofold, too, with what Mr. Rodriguez wanted, is that you could get some of the people in that hadn't had the chance to participate.
Right.
that we're afraid to break that barrier and go to the next step.
I'm all for it.
And so, but like I said, we have to dot our I's, cross our T's to make sure. So what you're asking is that to come up with forms that would help facilitate it?
Well, we're having this event just to make everyone cognizant, and then maybe we would offer like facilities, you know, with the approval of finance, would offer a seminar if we put together a package for subcontractors.
I guess I'm a little confused because a payment application was your creation, so you know, we just want your direction on an invoice whether or not we pay it. The paperwork that is being required is part of that listing that you gave as a recommendation.
Yeah.
So.
I think part of it is that, like, for example, that process and those forms and everything, the seminar might just be that exact same thing, but it would just be to teach people how to do it, because that's the same form, like, for example, for this contractor that we're doing. It's just that the smaller contractors don't know how to fill it out.
So it's just like an information session.
Yeah. It would just be like a you know, like a small business seminar.
Is there a packet to where you could reduce are all those legal requirements?
The majority of them are, so I would just, that was designed for like a general contractor, but it's pretty much the same thing, but it's mainly just to teach people how to fill it out. Like the case of the email that we were talking about, it's those exact same forms. Mm-hmm. He could not fill them out. They could not add up to 100%. The dollar amounts didn't. It's just a basic.
He was an athlete. He believed in 110%.
I was like, yes. I mean, you're laughing, but it's true, and it's very frustrating because he. It's just to teach people how to fill it out, mainly. Yeah.
Jennifer, would you be a good time to speak about that at this meeting?
We would.
Kind of touch on it a little bit.
Like a personal coaching center. Yeah. So that's the business outreach. And the next part is the rebundling. Anything else on the business outreach?
Is that a great idea?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was Oscar's idea, just for full disclosure.
Good job.
Okay. So the next two items are the rebundling and the draft of the owner's project budgets. So, and this is where the round table comes in. With Al and Renee. So basically what I did is, with the input from our last meeting, to turn it into four packages. Okay, so you'll see, this is package one, Canutillo High School, okay? And you can see there's the project numbers. The project numbers refer to the bond project reports. And so one of the mistakes that I made in the original package was that, for example, it had this, the project, and then the budget number. And so you would see it, and it didn't tell the full story, because really the number I put, you know, was the number from one of these columns, which didn't exactly tell the whole story. So exactly. So now each campus or each facility has the owner's project budget, and it's divided up into these sections. Pre-construction costs, construction, professional fees, furniture, fixtures, and equipment, IT, security, enabling, administrative, and contingency. And at the very bottom, you'll have the top number in red. That's your total project cost. The line underneath it is how much we've budgeted. In some cases, how much we're asking for federal. And then at the bottom, a deficit, and I think I even had a couple of surpluses, but those are like rare, and some with alternates. So after that, I printed it in larger format in case you had trouble seeing. Yeah, I know. See right away. See, I know my crowd. And then the next is followed by, this is the estimate that we received from VMAC.
Okay, show me what package you're working on.
Canutillo High School.
Okay.
Canutillo High School. You have the list of all the projects.
But I can't read, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then you have this owner's project budget in small.
Okay.
Then when you turn it to the side, you have it in large.
Thank you, this one.
Okay. And then the next page, you have it in, you have VMAX, all the numbers that came from VMAC, but those are included in the owner's project budget and taken into account.
Okay.
The high school, you can see $2.9 million. And then the this is basically the backup. And the remaining pages is all of the breakdown of the estimate that was turned in by the IT department. But really all you need to know, well, you know, what summarizes it is the front page. So if you look at construction costs, on pre-construction costs, you can see the cost of the survey, $10,250. Mm-hmm. Soils testing, $10,734. Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then if you go to construction, mm-hmm. you can see what we currently have. You know, you have a budget, you have your revised budget. We have $2,476,000 currently available for all of these projects. Okay, mm-hmm. that includes the cost of the weight room, which we say suspension of work proposed, because speaking to Coach Brooks, the weight room had a very lengthy explanation, which I don't remember what it is, but is no longer needed. And so now on the far right hand side, you can see all of our construction costs, and it's $2,249,000. Are we
That's
all?
That's without the weight room.
Yes, because the weight room was addressed in some other way or wasn't relevant or
okay.
something.
Okay, but so the weight room went away.
But the money stayed. That's why it's okay. listed here. So you have $2,249,000. Now in the third section, you have professional fees, and you mm-hmm. can see how much Al charged. We have some very minimal site FF&E, which is basically just some site amenities. IT, your next section. We added some for security, an allowance for security. And so you can see for Canutillo High School, they're short $47,000.
It's not much.
Yeah, actually, he deserves a round of applause. That's pretty dang good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. That's he came here just for your appreciation, actually. Just for the applause. And actually, it's really interesting because I have the project budget.
Yes.
Al knew the number, and he drew it, and he gave it to VMAC, but VMAC did not know the number, and then he just returned the estimate, and when we put it all together, he was only $47,000 off. Of course, now we just have to build it and see what's really off. But hey, it's pretty close.
So on the weight room, you had work suspended. What was the issue with the weight room?
I went to go see Coach Brooks, and he said the bond project was this room, because in the beginning there was some investigative work, right. And then he said, no, because you can't wrestle in this room because you should wrestle in another room. Right.
Plus, it's being taken out of the Olympics, so it's a big deal.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so I don't really...
yes.
I have this real quick deal that I brought for just
high school.
For the high school.
Oh, yeah, sure. Hand it back.
They're adding summer curling.
Here you go.
On the back of this?
This is just a rendering showing the high school.
Over and over again, or am I reading this incorrectly?
You know, I actually didn't. Tony is very detail-oriented from IT, and I actually didn't. I just took the summary and dropped it in, and I didn't read all his.
Yeah. Wait, can you tell me what you're looking at?
On the back, it just seems like there's five copies of the same. And your mind is
the yeah, it looks like there's five copies of the same.
Okay.
That probably would have made me go faster this afternoon.
Thank you.
You know.
Same thing.
Okay.
So that's what the gyms are? Is that where you're from?
That's a schematic package. What we have. So
I like the.
It looks like it's part of it there.
Yeah.
No problem finding the same block.
No.
Okay.
There's still the mountains still out there.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a good answer. Let's see.
We should be messing with that one.
So. The next two projects are Northwest. Well, you know what? If you want, we can skip to the small projects because Jerry's not here. So if you want, can we skip to package four?
Package four, small
package four is the super thick package. And I tried to put these things on your individual.
Yes, I was wondering what those. I was hoping you were going to explain.
Yes.
I thought they were more than just decoration.
So the fourth package was the small projects package. So at Canutillo Middle School, so since Renee is here, so we have for pre-construction costs, $40,000. Construction, $1.8 million. Professional fees,
Okay, are we, I'm sorry, we're in the small pad project four.
And then you go to the first, you go to the first sticky thing, and you should be on this one for Canutillo Middle School.
Okay, I'm with you now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, it's because I've been staring at this for like a week, so I got it like.
I know, she's going way ahead.
Footnote three.
So, yeah, exactly. So the first section, 40,000 in pre-construction work, construction 1.8 million. The architect fee, that's the next one. Now, what's really expensive here is the IT, and that's 270,000. Now, don't panic, and without knowing anything about IT, the other thing here is about perception, like when you walk in and everything's new. So an easy way to cut this down by like 100 grand, and I haven't told Tony this, but Annette's here to defend his honor, is like, for example, computers for $90,000. If you put all used or existing computers, that's 100 grand off right there, you know? Now, that you can do away with. Some of the rest of it you can't because it's infrastructure, but... So when you come right down to it, the total cost of the project is 2.435, and you have 1.4, so you're short 990,000.
Oh my lord!
Alternative.
Because of 269.
Right now we have alternates. The alternates on this project were door replacements, which the doors are in good condition, but somebody asked if the doors so. There's door replacements for $55,000, mm-hmm. restroom finishes for $160,000, mm-hmm. the painting of the heat cover. So once you take off those $200,000, you're down to $770,000. Mm-hmm. Now, if you take off the new computers, you're down to $670,000, so more or less. And if you take into account that CMS is actually covered because of their, you know.
Their $1 million savings.
Mm-hmm, right.
From the
right
plant,
right.
The sewer hookup.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So CMS is actually, you know,
they're fine.
They're fine, right? Okay. So far we're two for two.
Okay.
This is Renee's only project. Do you guys have anything else on CMS except for what we discussed on the wall and the build out and the fee proposal or anything else?
Not a wall.
Yeah. Or you know, not a wall. The shell. The fee, yeah.
We'll go back in a little.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that this is not, what's in red is really not in red because of the $1 million that we saved for the
Well, what I'm going to show you is I'm going to end in the total.
Treatment or whatever.
He's going to bring it all together.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
all
yeah. So we're just going to go campus by campus.
Now,
all right, okay.
Maybe we can get M&K to do a proposal for both the shell out and build out.
Yeah.
If CMS is looking right on target.
Well, I'm going to need their money in our other. We're not done yet, but yes.
You need their money.
I mean,
we have a problem area.
Hold on.
Okay. All right. But we still
we'll
we
get
still
to Jerry
like
in
anyway.
A minute. Uh huh. Yeah.
Are we going to go right to the problem area?
No. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, okay. Anything else for Renee?
No.
Thank you for coming, Renee.
Renee, thank you very much, Renee.
Yeah, thank you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
So our next tab is Bill Childress Elementary. So the rest of the small projects all belong to Al. So you can see here he has three projects. He's in total, his total project costs come to $99,000. And he's short 4,700 on that campus. Yeah.
That's on on which one?
Bill Childress.
Bill Childress?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much right on target.
Yep, he's doing good. Yeah, so the next one is Canutillo Elementary.
I know you want to look at this.
And in total, they're short about $145.
Thousands.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? We did miracles with that track. We should get extra money on that.
Al.
No.
We don't with the elementary school track. That was...
Yeah. We've started with a round of applause for you, Al. I mean, you know. Yes, it's going well. Okay, Deanna Davenport, they're short 3,700. Garcia Elementary, short 64.
1,000?
Yeah, 64,000.
Why would...
They were only getting a shade.
Well, Garcia, one of their projects is ADA grass play area, and they've been budgeted $30,000 for that.
That's new, or
no? It's one of the projects.
Originals.
Yeah, it's in the report. So $30,000 now by a grass play area, we're like, well, I mean, it's a soccer field. Well, you know, a small soccer. So it's a soccer field. So that's why they're short 64. We can make it smaller.
It doesn't have to be sod.
Well, actually, Al had another idea. He's going to use hydro mulch.
You know, I've used the hydro mulch a lot. And in fact, it's kind of a process that, you know, you just got to, if you irrigate it properly, it works really well. In my little neighborhood there was a lot that we turned into a park, and it is about 40,000 square feet, 30,000 to 40,000 square feet, and we hydro mulched it and irrigated it, and it's complete grass. It looks like a football.
But we have irrigation.
It's just that you can't flood it. You have to, it has to wet, stay moist, but you cannot put, it cannot pond.
Oh, it's and like then, paper and seed mixed together.
Yeah, and then it starts wetting, and it, I'm telling you, it 15 days, you've got grass.
Well, right now, it's bit as sod, but we could switch it to hydro mulch and save some money there.
We have
save
no sprinklers.
Oh, no, that's, that's why it has that cost. It would, this includes the sprinkling system.
Yeah, just to give you an example, like that 30,000 square feet of area for sod, it was going to cost us about 38,000 labor and everything. We did it all for like $3,200.
Yeah, sod's $1 a square foot.
So several of the elementaries have soccer fields, and they're nice little projects. And we put between like the desert and the sod, we put like they're like rubber kind of like bumpers to distinguish it, and they'll be irrigated. So a couple of the elementaries get soccer fields. So
we got the
time. I really don't think they were getting the set camera. I don't.
Yeah, just gotta keep.
Well, they're also getting a lift station, but they're not too. I mean, it's not the most exciting thing.
Yeah, they're getting the lift station.
Yeah,
the lift covering station around.
Yeah, they're like not so. I mean, they're like whatever, you know. But
I can just see the kids jumping.
Yeah,
oh, lift station.
We're getting our lift station.
Yeah, I mean,
thank
you. Cord.
Yeah.
It does sound like
they don't exactly feel like they've won the jackpot. So I mean, the soccer field.
See, but they wouldn't. They would definitely know if they were missing a lift station.
Heck yeah, yeah.
Of course, they got the nicest elementary though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No complaints.
Yeah.
The next campus is Jose Damian, and one of the things about Jose Damian is that there's one project there, Project 78. I've discovered what most of the projects are. Project 78 is flooring kitchen upgrades, and
this. That. Yeah.
Well, you see, when I went over there.
It was like a little patch.
Uh-huh. That's exactly what happened. I went over there and they're like, what is this project? And they're like, we've already patched it.
Yeah.
And then the floor is, you know, not completely flat. But, I mean, to take up a kitchen floor, it just doesn't seem like something that was like, A, worthwhile. It seems like the serious part was taken care of with the patch. The principal and the people in the kitchen, they were like... No one thinks this is
necessary.
No, everyone seems to be okay with it, and even I could see, like, yeah, the floor is like, but is it worth it? I mean, I don't.
Why do I not see it on here?
It's project number 78 for JDE.
I see it.
So you can see it says no further work proposed, and we use that $58,000 towards something that's much more expensive and. the fire-rated door projects, even so, this even using that money, this project still is short $46,000, and that's because this fire-rated door issue is pretty expensive and much more important. Like the fencing and the life safety fire-rated doors, those are way more important than the floor, and the life doors are much more expensive.
I cannot tell you how many parents we have had.
About the fencing. Yeah, I know.
What's wrong with the fencing?
There is none.
There is none.
There's
JD?
It's not like you can walk, you know.
You can walk from the parking lot.
It's only fenced around the
perimeter.
The east,
yeah,
the north, and part of the and part of the west boundary.
There's a gap connecting like the school to the fence, so if you park, you could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what this project is. So this one's short 46.
Yeah. Why is it short 46 if we're not doing 58?
Yeah.
Oh, because the doors, anything that has to do with doors is just like very expensive.
We didn't budget for that?
What?
We didn't budget for that? Is that what it was?
Not for the fire.
It was budgeted for 146 and we're coming in at 193 even though we're...
Well, yeah, it was budgeted for, it was budgeted for 72, but we couldn't do it in 72. You can see the project is 167.
Wow.
So.
Significant. Those are the solid doors you're talking about? Fire doors?
And a lot of
fire-rated doors are, you know, the price just jumps up because of the label.
The label. It says Nike on it.
Yeah.
If you don't have that label on there, then you can't say it's fire-rated.
You can't put it on there.
So. The next one is administration. In administration, we're only moving forward with project number 5, the lift. And that one has a surplus of 17.3, so we don't get a lot of surpluses, but Al is the proud owner of the one with the surplus. And I hope that's okay with you guys. We're only moving forward with that one. I think that's consistent with
the
direction.
Where's the lift?
It's on 202?
Back.
In the back.
Yeah.
Requirement.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one is facilities, and facilities with the projects proposed, which, you know, we are happy with whatever if we need to support other projects, but because it's on the bottom list, we've included one for that as well, is short $89,000. And we have but facilities is the least of our importance. But so with that, I present to you the summary of all of this.
Yeah.
I wanted to show you one by one so you can, these are the totals. So with all of this for your three, and this gets, basically you have the pre-K through 8, you have Johnson Controls, and then you have, and all your other projects. So between these three architects, you have almost $14 million worth of work. You're short like 2.5 if you use CMS, 1.5. The deficit, if you take away all the alternates, you're down to 2.1, and then you use the $1 million from CNS, 1.2. And then, of course, and this is all just hypothetical because after the new CMR comes in, although we've been using VMAC as a CMR, and maybe we could tighten up the IT. I don't know. We could talk to Tony about that. But Martha, I mean, what do you think? Do you have 1.1?
Well, what I was going to present when we presented the financials is that $3 million that we have out of the 2006 bonds for debt payment relief for taxpayer, it's looking right now, we're starting to analyze and see how we're ending this year's budget, and we're going to have a nexus in debt service that is close to that $3 million.
Wow.
So that $3 million can be allocated to help the bond relief part of the 2006 bond, and that opens up $3 million for bond projects.
So we want, of course, now we don't want to be like, oh, like Martha, she's such a great saver, and Jennifer's the one that blows it all, you know?
So, no, we were thinking that. We didn't say
so.
We've been talking about it a little bit, Jennifer.
But so one of the things is that, with the talk about the bond sales, is that like these $13 million, these projects, all these building additions, if it goes, this is all stuff that we would spend between this July and next July.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our first shot of, And us, yeah, and VMAX said we could plot this, you know, to give you like a cash flow.
Okay.
So this was our first step in that. And then I know probably Johnson Controls and his district-wide project could probably give you a cash flow after we finalize the contract.
Absolutely.
And then we tie it in with the pre-K through 8. So really our biggest gap, because there was no one kind of to fill that role, was these projects. So now we're ready to do the cash flow for you. But I can tell you that all of this, $13 million within the next year.
Okay. And if you look at our 2011 bonds, there's $17.9 million.
Uh-huh.
And then out of our 2006 bonds, we've got $8.1 million.
Okay.
So
we need them.
I mean, these funds are open for the projects.
So we're good to go. Okay.
Maybe not.
Why
don't you do your facilities anymore?
Yeah.
We wouldn't know.
So basically, you know, a lot had been talked about of how short we were.
Why put it towards more tax? We need the money.
Jennifer, I have a couple of questions to ask you. There was $1 million for the admin building.
I mean, we're short here. We're short on this.
Originally scheduled to fix this building.
It's just coming in perfect.
And we're only going to spend $65,000 to put the lift in. So what happened to
about $35,000?
Okay.
So one of the things is, like, for example, in each of these projects, and that's why I include the bond project report, because.
But specifically, where did the $1 million go?
Okay. So if you look at this report, you can see that the admin, the vault, they bought those cabinets. They only have 23 cents left. The HVAC replacement continues to have $360,000 in it. The lift has this full amount. The epoxy floor continues to have $8,000. The ADA upgrades continue to have 23.
So all your money is still there. You never gave it to these other projects.
We did take some from project one. You can see it only has $26,000 left. And if you look on project one, Maria has the detail. Maria, what did we spend on out of project one?
We used a portion of it for the track. I don't have my detail for that one, but I can go ahead and provide it to you tomorrow.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Now, as we have all of these, the question becomes, like, all the ones were like 40,000 under, 4,000 under. It's like either it requires a budget amendment. And the question is, a budget amendment from what account? Or, Martha, is it instead of if we know, if these are the deficits that we're projecting, instead of doing a budget amendment from a different account, if we need, like, we know that there's a $47,000, can we take
from that?
Right, exactly. And just say we are counting on a $47,000 deficit and going from there.
Right. If you remember a couple months back, we were given the directive that any project that was finished and had excess funds, we were to put it into the construction of the PPE. So that's another account that has, you know, any remnants from other projects, we put it into, we clear the project and then add it on to that. So there's the pre-K 8 where Gloria will be transferring to, and then that $3 million is a, you could see it like a pot that instead of taking away from an actual project,
next year.
So the pre-K through 8 aside, like right now, if all on the other projects, you know, we do a budget amendment and we ship from one project to another, instead of doing that,
because
eventually
it's high school, so the main priority will be
for this, based on these reports, say, hey, we're projecting it's going to be short this much, and just go from that $3 million into those specific accounts based on this report?
As long as the board approved, we could allocate the funds accordingly.
So that's what we've been doing. Like, if it's a little off, like in the case of the tracks, we would be like, all right, we need to find a project now. Right away, as we tried to put a stop to that as soon as possible, and then whenever we voted on an action, board agenda action, we would propose it with the budget amendment, right? But eventually, you know, as you're robbing, if we could authorize to use, based on these reports, to cover the deficit with, so that she could deposit those monies to that account. That would be one way to do it.
Martha?
Yeah, but you're not going to spend all the money tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You don't have to write $13 million worth of checks tomorrow.
No.
No.
But it's not going to be an issue until... it's going to become an issue in April or May, because because we're going to bring the guaranteed maximum price for each project, and then we're going to have to cut a PO, and they'll, now we can address it at that time, right? Like, we can present the guaranteed maximum price, the account number, and the proposed budget amendment at that time. We could do that all together.
Mm-hmm. Because there's never going to be a day when you're going to have to pay that $13 million all out.
No, but I do have to make sure that it's all in the account, or else they'll...
Well, with the purchase order, it encumbers the money. And mm-hmm. so, like, you know, once you set it out to pay for the project, right. then, you know, the yeah. account has to have the funds in there, and then it's locked in.
Pinky, pinky, pinky. You
know. No, but hey, but listen, in, let's
in
just...
In a deficit of two, let's go with the $2 million.
Right.
Say, we've got the money, you get your alternates, or you, you know, you're going to get $2 million is all you're missing.
Yeah.
So as your account becomes, you know, just like a checkbook, as you're writing your checks every month and you see, oh, gee, the electric bill came, and, you know I'm not going to have the money for that one. Do you go to Martha at that point and say, well, you know, we're short $1 million now, can you give me $1 million?
No, but it's like... It's only going to become a problem when they, for the POs for the guaranteed maximum prices, because it's not in monthly payments. She has to be able to say, you have enough checking account to pay for the whole thing. But we can do it at that time.
Jennifer, but you're saying the amount is $13 million?
Well, I'm just saying, let's just say we get to one of Jerry's buildings, and mm-hmm. Jerry's building is like $2 million. And I have enough to pay the contractor for the next 6 months, mm-hmm. but the account doesn't have the full $2 million. I can't cut the PO for the full amount because I won't be showing it, you know?
Okay. But if in total the projects are at $13 million, based on that information you just shared with them, we, you know, if the board approved, we could designate from that bond relief $3 million into the different accounts to balance them out.
There you go.
So you have enough money to make every PO for each project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Martha?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Question. Our bond relief has already been covered.
We've covered it out of our regular INS. We never touched the bond.
We never touched the bond. And we had, awesome. It was $3 million we've set apart, right?
That was awesome.
Okay. Not only that, we said that the tax relief was going to be for...
It was just a 1 year, and then they'd start paying 8 cents. We've gone 3 years at 25, no increase. This next fiscal
right.
year will be the first one at 8 cents, and then the next year
right.
the 16 cents.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's...
Gustavo needs to put that in the ambitions.
Mm-hmm. And what my suggestion is we do, since we're not even the sale of our bonds have been delayed,
mm-hmm.
the second part.
So that's still not going to keep us below not needing the full amount of...
But I think we should still go...
With the tax rate?
The tax rate.
Yeah.
And whatever savings we have, because we're going to need that money, not towards more tax relief, but towards these shortages.
Towards...
And the HVAC shortage.
And the little piece of room we want at CMS.
Why take it out of our M&O and do...
No, it's not an M&O.
No, I understand that, but why? In other words, why do more tax relief, and then we're getting into debt on
right.
the M&O side by doing a financing of that? That just doesn't...
Yeah, leave our tax rate as it is.
Right.
So you want to increase? You want to keep the tax rate at a lower rate?
No.
No. No, higher.
Go ahead and move forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
Move forward the way it was. We move forward exactly the way we promised.
Okay.
We've met our deal. That's what we committed. Now, down the line, after we finish these, and if we use that $3 million here, down the line, if we still have savings, then we can cut back after that. Once we finish all the projects and say, well, we had $1 million left. Okay, we're going to dump INS by a penny this next budget year, because this is what we saved.
Keep in mind we have $6 million in fund balance.
of debt service.
Yes.
So that's another, that helps us pay off if we found ourselves tight and right. wanted to keep our tax rate.
And we might be able to want to do that this next following year before we go for out for another bond. So we're looking, we're even going to have more savings than that $3 million then.
So, Sergio, then do we go forth with this and let them?
Well, I think we need to recommend to the board that we go ahead and, for this next meeting, is recommend to the board that we allot the $3 million that was slotted for the tax relief. We've already complied with what we promised the community and put in an agenda item for the board to designate that then towards the bond projects, which that's where it belongs anyway. That's
right.
where it belongs, whatever yeah. deficit we're going to have. And we have several deficits.
Your deficit will be paid and we'll have about 400 and something thousand left over that can maybe build her wing. Well,
maybe.
I wanted to interject that these, not so much M&K's, some of the projects were very preliminary in their drawings.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So Jennifer and I had to plug in a guess for some of these, like the construction manager's fees. Maybe I'm high. We also have 3% contingency in there.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I'm saying this is a very conservative estimate.
So this is like an opinion of probable cost.
Yeah.
So like,
I think it's a conservative estimate. I think you should beat it.
Well,
depending on the market rate, like he says about subcontractor base and vendor base.
Yeah, I think it's.
And that's just why I always put draft on all of them.
Yeah.
And so let's
only because
not
people
take
ask
away the million from the computers. Let's.
Move on.
Actually, I think it's pretty good news because, like, based on what they're off and how hard of a saver Martha is, like, the bond looks like it's doable.
Not only that, we may have some recapture money for this year, right,
yeah.
Martha?
I'm sorry.
That recapture.
Do you think
money.
We might have some recapture money for this fiscal year?
Well, last year I was able to recapture about 1.3.
No, we already we budgeted for that last year.
And so,
Jennifer, that was a really good presentation.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. And I wanted to
made better.
Show you
yes,
us.
Martha, thank you.
Yeah, we're chugging along. And so I wanted to show you guys that in the beginning we started doing this report, and green is complete, and yellow was not started. So as you flip through the back page, white shows action. So you can see we've got all white, like things
white
are moved. White is means there's action movement.
Okay.
So you can see we're full of white, we're getting more green, and there's very few that are in yellow, and it's all
it's moving.
It's
along.
Moving, and we're ready for July 1. So
good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Looking
that's
good,
it
guys.
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Jennifer.
Oh, yes,
ma'am.
Anybody?
My evaluation is on that.
Next week.
Next week.
We get this.
Oh, security services.
I have one question, Jennifer. On your packet, it says that the amounts you presented don't include general conditions CMR. So, the additional funds, when will we know and will we? Be able to still cover it.
Actually, that is on the sheet that's provided by Mr. Venegas. He puts that was on his sheet, right? Which is a backup.
I threw some dollars in there in the estimate.
So this
so
sheet,
covered.
This
covered.
Yeah, exactly. So what I was this is includes all the CMR, all the contingency, and everything, and then I just attached what they gave to me as backup.
Okay.
So
I just didn't want to think we were covered and then.
No.
Oh, but
none of those. It's in here. But that might happen.
There's always a string attached.
We're actually short.
Has Al already talked about
it? Like, I got
no.
them like blessed by many people.
Okay.
But,
yeah. Jen.
All
right.
And
that
that's it
that
for me.
Right.
That's right.
Al. The security services on number 8.
Yeah, we still need to do that.
Okay.
But that's not from the architect.
This, So this is on.
It's
so
on.
Forward on this.
Thank you.
Distribute that.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Appreciate it.
I've got the plans if you want to get them.
How are you?
Oh, Al.
Oh.
All right.
Good night, Mr.
Thank you.
Take care, Scott. Oscar.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Happy
you.
Valentine's
thank
you.
Day.
Thank you for
remember
your.
Remember, it's tomorrow.
Oh.
We do. Remember, it was VD Day.
Al, thank you.
I don't even think people know.
Good job.
About the Great American.
Good job, guys. Yes, Great American.
I don't think it would hurt you to show up.
March 1. You got it.
Shall we all go?
Should we shut? If we do, we need to. If we do, we need to post. If we do, we need to post.
Right now.
I want somebody.
Yeah, hey, we're being well. Subcontractors.
Oh my.
So we do our hair pictures.
It's horrible.
Yeah, of course.
But it's front page news. Bob Moore.
Get it? No,
the
it looks planned on
the
thing
like
that.
He looked like
he was in his pajamas,
didn't he? It doesn't matter. Christina has at least
money. What? Money?
But they.
Oh, they're a brand new school.
But they have a higher number.
And it's a nice school.
It is.
Grass play area. That's costing $77,000.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Tile? Yeah.
Oh, those little Dickens would put their feet on the back.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Have a good night.
Good night, Al.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Is it chamber?
Yeah, let's go back up there.
Back up?
Hmm?
Go back up?
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
We're moving away now.
We're moving.
I'm getting old.
Ahead of time. Take a little
while. So I have a board. Yeah.
And with the construction in the next 5 years, we'll probably double that. You want to go?
No, it's Valentine's.
Thank you, ma'am.
That's a good meeting, huh?
Yep. Good news for a change. Yep. Excellent. Last agenda item on A is the security service. We've talked a little bit about that already, but...
I have something that, I don't know, just when I was reading the warrant list is when it just popped out at me. Our constable is also a teacher...
Miss Summers?
At the high school.
Yes, Miss Summers.
Yeah.
And...
We've talked to her.
I mean... Is that an opportunity we're passing up that maybe, you know, instead of SRO and working with the sheriff's department or, you know, hiring someone else, that maybe we have, I don't know, if she, I don't know anything about her capabilities, her, you know, I know nothing. I just, you know, thought maybe it's something that we should look into.
Because she is an employee might present a problem. Would you agree?
It could.
Yeah, it could be included.
Well, not a problem, but if she has expertise in something else, we can always, that would be something along the lines of a stipend.
Extra duty is a stipend.
And, you know, and what they're doing like, after this year, they're going to be adding, next year they're going to be adding like clinical rotations that we're going to be having the kids go with patrols and having patrol officers coming in. And so we're starting also, this was year one, was it two? So we're adding, they're going to have, and then we're going to be even bringing in the explorers or something like that, something type like that.
Well, so, maybe I'm muddying the water. It just, you know, it was something I totally forgotten about in the warrant list. I saw her name.
I think, if anything, she might be a good member on some sort of committee to evaluate.
Absolutely.
You know, a vendor. But you know, to speak of that, security services, I guess the reason it's been brewing was because of the issues that we've seen. And what I wanted to see was more of a review of what we currently have.
Mm-hmm.
And really, law enforcement aside, law enforcement is meant to respond and to enforce, not really meant to collect intelligence or, and that's really where I'm kind of moving towards and seeing what we can,
like an assessment.
A threat assessment, a site assessment, not only looking at the designs of our new schools, but set sort of an assessment of all our facilities and show vulnerabilities and make recommendations, because anybody can say, you can break through the window. Well, give us a recommendation. So not just assess, but also recommend on the back end.
So on this one, if I may, on I will check that I can see if, because I thought that the report that we did, that Mike Gonzalez did, is ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me see if I can get it in tomorrow's packet for you all.
Mm-hmm.
Not that big. Okay. So what I'm asking is, do you want us to, is this for next year to come up with it? Like it,
I'd like to see something before the end of the year.
No, that's why so we could give you this preliminary, and then you could then direct us to say, okay, now Annette, I still want an RFP to have, or are you directing me that to do that now for an RFP to look at security evaluation district-wide.
I think that's
talking response.
And you're talking
response,
perimeter.
Collaboration, communication, and overall alerting systems, because there's no better time than to...
It's abysmal.
Yeah, it's abysmal. Okay. And what we need to do is really look at the facilities, not when they're empty, but when they are, when there's... have an assessment while school's going on, because I think that's when you get a better feel as to what's going to work with environments in there.
Since January,
mm-hmm.
I have directed poor Mr. Gonzalez to, he is now, I have had him be present, and now the schedule, these with the PD or the Sheriff's Department. So we have ramped it up since January, since we've come back. And I mean, I can tell you, we've had CMS, we've had AMS, we've had a couple of the elementaries. I know it was Miss Maxim was here and she was all in a tither because she wanted to leave because of an emergency. I said, you can't go. You know, we've been revving it up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at the EOP. Mm-hmm. So you would like us to develop something, because one thing I know that we're very, very, that makes me very nervous is the intercom systems in the schools.
Yeah.
And this is something that we need to look at as a budget, as far as, because we have Dantech and it's, I guess I can say it's like pulling teeth to get, and I know IT sometimes even goes in, which, because it's proprietary, you know, we can't do anything, but we at least can go in and say, this server's dead. Get them a new server. I mean, and that saves like 2 weeks. I mean, we've had schools that have been without intercom.
Yeah, the one of them is in the...
And we can't have that. And however, though, IT has been working on the voice over IP, which now we have at this facility. Now there is an intercom system through the phones. I had Ms. Moreno sitting with me in my office, and all of a sudden something came up, and she went, "Where is that?" And I said, "It's on the phones." And she goes, "Oh, that's cool." So see, I think that should be a redundant system, not necessarily the only system.
Exactly.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you need, that's what I'd like to do, is that we have been doing some work. Mm-hmm. We can't, you know, because...
Yeah. I wouldn't stop anything.
No, but just at Northwest Early College, there was nothing. And now there's that.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So, and they're using that as their primary. So what I'm seeing right now, and that is that we absolutely have to replace, and I know AMS, CMS, BCE, Davenport, I'm telling you, those are the four off the top of my head that we've had to interface with Dantex in this past year, that we've had to intercede to try to get them moving. So I think that's...
I think what I'd like to see, if anything, just a top-to-bottom assessment and recommendation, whether it be an RFP or... What would that be? RFP or RFQ?
I think it's RFQ.
It'd be an RFP, actually.
Okay.
P?
Well, RFP, yes.
And there are some funds I know that we can pull.
Unless you want to do an RFI, which is a request for information, where they actually go in there and look at it.
Maybe that's what you want.
And give you like a summary of what needs... And then you actually go out for bid for it.
Maybe that's what we need.
But maybe back to back, Ron, so we don't lapse that by, you know, next August, it's ready. We're there.
Or you could just strictly go out for the RFP and just say, you know, this is the one to come out and evaluate.
Well, exactly.
So just what Mr. Medina says, assess
and, well, see,
and recommend.
We've already started. Since we can give you something, and then, like you said, at least that we can give
to
that to somebody coming in that's responding to the RFPs. Yes?
I'll be attending TASBO this coming week, and you know, of course,
please.
Like all the other big conferences, there's a lot of vendors. And I'll start looking because this safety is a concern.
Okay,
nationwide, definitely.
One of the things that we need to sit back and decide on this RFP is because there's a lot of stuff to security, and when we say top to bottom, what do you mean by top to bottom?
Yes.
I mean, are you talking about
infrastructure?
So we need somebody to. You know, I don't know if we have anybody in house that can do
what we need.
Even do for the RFP as to what it is we want them to assess.
Mike Gonzalez could probably help us with that.
Because, you know, there's some issues on, you know, are we talking about also the overall security from security guard standpoint? Are we talking about the staffing issues? Are we talking about also the facilities points issues where we're having issues?
Infrastructure.
Software,
it's
cameras. I mean, there's, and I don't know that we want all these.
And some of these layers we've already investigated. That will be in that report tomorrow.
I
did not read it today.
Does the RFP itself restrict us on what we can do?
You know, I believe too.
Well, we can write it to any, you know, we can leave it open and let them come out and present to us what
and
they
see what their cost would be.
And then we can pick
I
and
like
choose.
That idea because I don't want to tie it into that and say this. You know, give us your best sort of solution for a school district that's growing and give us recommendations on new schools even.
Well, I would say you give us everything related to this, and let's get Mike help us with what that thing is.
Well, we did our security audits.
And then we can decide, depending on their RFP, what the cost of doing any one of those areas and if we have the money or not.
And stage in it.
And then what we can budget for those solutions for this next budget year, because I'd like to do it before the budget set in stone.
How long do we have to go out for RFP?
It has to be on the streets at least 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
So it has to be published 2 weeks in a row in the newspaper, and then we close it next week. So.
Okay.
I would recommend if we could, Ron, get a committee together, yourself, Mike Gonzalez.
I think the safety committee should be involved in it.
Absolutely,
the
safety
did
committee.
Like I said, we did do our security audits last year. We identified issues that we have as far as, like, inadequate fencing,
lighting, perimeter.
doors that can't be locked from the inside without a key. We did all that already, so we have a lot of that information already.
That's great. You know, just coming from Washington, it was one of the big things, and I've got some material that I brought back for us on it, but the National School Boards Association probably has like a menu on their website, because this is such a
hot
just
topic.
Like you said, TASBO the same way. It is the hot topic.
And there will be stuff on that when we go in April.
Oh!
Can't wait.
Tons.
And we also...
just real quick, I think what we need to also look at is, of course, internally we've been doing some stuff, but, you know, the external factors, what can somebody else bring to the table when it comes to, you know, not... I guess a different perspective of what security issues need to be addressed and how.
That's why with the RFP would have to do that.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Oh, we need assistance. Absolutely.
I would even go further. Okay. Instead of it just being structure, it would be education as well. I mean, because right now we have an EOP and we communicate that to the staff and the students. I mean, we need to top down these people, whoever the company or persons are.
Well, even our network security.
Yeah. And the good thing, the good thing about it is, you know, we'll go out for the RFP, see if we want to do it. What is it we want to do? You know, just have all those options available on that RFP.
Absolutely, so but if we get a committee, what I'm saying that if we do, because this. Okay, I'm already seeing behind the walls. I'm seeing the infrastructure needed. I'm seeing the I'm talking just the cabling, the
that it could be done in conjunction with the other.
So we have to, you know, and also too, one of the things, I know Mr. Flores, you're going to COSIN, right? And he's going in March. And that's the consortium of school networks, of school, you know, networking, which has a huge security. So what we could do is look at COSIN, look at
NSBA.
NSBA, and see between what we're saying, because I do think what Mr. Rodriguez is saying, that we need that outside, we know we need it. You know, we know we're going to need that.
I would even open it up to staffing, because there was an issue of staffing that was even brought
absolutely.
Up recently about an SRO or what was it?
Hopefully
security guards.
State's looking at that again, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, we've been looking at that for the last 3 or 4 years, and we just
ever since
haven't
the
had
SROs
any.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'd just like to see, you know, the security, that last... board meeting in January was heart-tugging because of those Twitter threats that
yep.
that woman was mm-hmm. was very endearing, that mother of that student was very endearing.
So Mr. Medina, if I may clarify, please. Mm-hmm. So you would like, you're directing the administration to come up with
an RFP
and...
I think we need to put it on the agenda item for this next meeting.
Okay, yeah. So that's what you'll do for us?
We'll recommend it to the
okay.
board to do that.
And then in the meantime... Mr. Gatlin, if we could get together, like you said, the SAGE committee and then some stakeholders within the district that we need, make sure we have a couple principals there, and so that we can at least start drafting it out with the help from, you know, the websites and...
So what's the timeline on this?
That's what I was going to ask.
Soon, I think,
soon.
Because we're coming up on budgets, it'd
yeah.
be great to see what we could fund now.
That
soon,
the board can, we'll recommend for Tuesday's meeting the board...
For the RFP, and
yes.
then we'll move forward, okay.
Board can approve and...
Yeah, so we can get at least some kind of assessment
yeah.
while we're in the budget.
Yeah, and the schools are fully staffed and occupied.
Yeah, because that is so key.
You got to have them in, I mean, you got to have people
mm-hmm.
there to understand how people move, and most of these security assessments are never empty. They need to be full.
So would it be safe to assume if the board approves on Tuesday that maybe March 1st that bid is the RFP is out on the streets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
And that gives us March 2.
Mm-hmm. And then we come back after the break?
After
and then we can
evaluate.
Evaluation.
And it would be...
That's right, spring break.
Spring break, that's
one
what...
One issue I do see with this, if we do this, they're probably going to want to come out and see our campuses and see, so they can actually see what we're facing.
We might need an extra week in there.
Might need an extra week.
I'm just saying, we might need an extra week.
Have to have a walkthrough.
That's fine.
At the end of school is in June, so
no,
as long as
long
we
as
get,
you know, yeah.
No, but we got to
do it right
before budget, so we got to get it sooner than that.
Oh, God.
I know.
Not only that, and it's time for the board in April, May, to go out on our yearly campus tours.
And that would be great if you could do that. That we could come up
before the budget to see what campuses
security.
Needed.
Okay.
Well, you know, and I've already, you know, we're starting to run numbers, but I'm still waiting for by March. I'll be presenting the first presentation on that. And so we've got March, April, May. You know, we've got some time, so.
Well, this is
be good time.
This is timely.
When we
this
get
is
the
timely,
assessment
Mr. Medina.
To go through the
good.
This is timely.
Through those walks.
And as far as any bond projects that are security related, I know that we put there's 200,000 right there for cameras at the high school, I believe.
It's
I mean, there's certain things that I still kind of we need to look at this as a bigger picture instead of just one project at a time. So,
but that's going to be more of a reactive than a proactive. Cameras are.
Cameras record.
But still, we can still, I mean, it's still, we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's dead and the cameras. Sorry, they're all dead, but we can figure out who did it. Yeah.
Like Columbine? It's the worst footage ever.
Okay.
All right.
I think we have.
So
thank
we're
you.
All recommending the RFP to the board
thank
for
you.
March
I
for
think.
The February meeting. All right. Next agenda item.
Agenda item 2B, item 2, district financials for January 1st through the 31st, 2013, presented by Ms. Weaver.
And I won't start with a warrant list like I did last month, I apologize. Would you like for me to do the full report on the financials?
No, just give us the highlights.
Okay. Basically, under the local funds, the 109, as I had mentioned yesterday, last month, our revenue will begins coming in really hard in January, and so the revenues are at 53%, which is what we were expecting as of January.
Is that in line with last year?
Yeah, last year was 65%, so it's a little bit below. But as far as our tax revenue, and I do the, I'll review that page on the tax that came in on target.
Okay.
And then our expenditures are at 50%. 54%, and last year at this time we were at 55%, so that's right. I did meet with our district leadership on Monday and reminded them of the mm-hmm. timelines, and so they are aware that their time is coming to an end quickly, so they need to make sure that they do their purchases accordingly.
Kate?
Yes, at Kate, State Comp Ed, Special Ed.
Okay,
we're on all of them.
Okay.
All right, yeah, especially.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't want to have
that. We don't want to have that issue again.
And then under the food service, we're at 41% of revenue collected, about 1.6 million. And at this time last year, we're at 48. So we're right there. We're appropriately there. Our expenditures currently are at 56% under food service, and last year we were at 58%.
You have a report coming in.
Under our debt services, we've collected 79% of our revenue. And at this time last year, we had only collected 34%. So we're okay.
Okay.
We're on target. And again, because we received our EDA funding earlier in the year versus later in the year like we did last year. Under the statement of cash and investment balances, we are currently reflecting $52.5 million in our bank accounts. And as compared to last year, we were at... we had a decrease of 716,000, so we're right on target. Our cash account is right. Our investments are also, we're currently showing $48.3 million in investments from investment pools and the short-term security type of investments. And it's an increase of 458,000 compared to last year. Our analysis of the tax collections, we are reflecting $14.3 million in tax collections. So that was all pretty much through the month of January. This time last year, we're 14.1. So we're on target there. Comparative tax collection report, which is page 8.
there again, we have collected for the month of January, of the 23.5 million expected, projected for revenues, we're at 60% collected. And last year's, we were at 68.9%. Under the workers' compensation fund, last month I had reported that we had more expenditures and revenues, mm-hmm. and we are back on the positive side.
Good.
At 41,000 revenue over expenditures.
Good.
Is that, did we get some reimbursements from the?
Reimbursements,
yes.
Yeah?
Okay.
Under the healthcare fund, right now we're still expenditures over revenues, and that was last year as well, last month as well. Except now we're at 92,000. I know that last month we were at 100 and some thousand dollars over. And again, there we've got those huge stop-loss cases mm-hmm. where we're still pending that
right.
that reimbursement back.
And Martha, I just want to see any kind of report if there's or on mm-hmm. whether there's any subrogation going on both on the workers' comp and the health insurance.
Okay. I'll contact Mario and Mike from HR.
Just if anything's going on and if we're addressing subrogation.
What the status is.
Yeah.
Okay. Under the construction budget analysis, which is pages 11 through 15, our expenditures are still on the low end because we don't have any of the big projects going, but as Jennifer shared with us, we're quickly getting to that point where the expenses will be coming in. And so in this section is where I wanted to, just remind you all that we've preliminarily looked at our current budget. I'm not talking fund balance, but our debt service right now, we're excess revenues over what we have to pay in bond debt service. So I see where that $6 million will increase at the end of June 30th. So in addition, so that's where that $3 million in bond money can be redirected to bond projects.
I have just the briefest of questions. I think I know the answer to this, uh-huh. Martha, but when Jennifer provides us with all of that mm-hmm. that we just looked at, do you look over it and
yes.
make sure?
Actually, Ms. De Leon, she is one of our staff accountants. Okay. She works closely with Jennifer and reviews her numbers. And any discrepancies.
Okay, so there is a communication.
There is checks and balances, yes.
And any budget okay. transfer that she requests
that.
Go through Gloria.
Absolutely.
So that okay. we don't just mm-hmm. approve.
Well, I figured the answer was yes. You run a tight ship, and I thank you.
Under
that's awesome.
Under the weekly enrollment report, mm-hmm. our enrollment as of January 25th was 6,059. That was an increase from last year at the same time of 5,000. Last year we had 5,943. So it's 116 students more.
How is that on our for our projected ADA for the year?
Our ADA, and I did do a quick run through LELA. Our ADA is at 95.7, mm-hmm. and last year we ended at 95.1, so we have a higher ADA rate. The numbers, we came out, I projected a little bit higher, but it not a significant number. I was conservative, and we came out.
Well, then remember, if our projections for ADA, which is what we get paid on, if they are if our projections higher than what we actually have, then we need to
reduce our yes. And we're watching that.
So that we don't end up with that issue and set it up in a separate account for reimbursement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because
they're going to come get it.
They'll find us.
They'll come get it.
Like Uncle Sam.
So we do monitor that.
All right.
Any questions on the finances?
Guys?
No.
No? All right. Thank you, Martha.
Love this.
Next.
I have like a million warrant list questions.
And I really wanted to
would that surprise anyone?
I didn't get a chance.
I'm shocked, Lori.
I'd be shocked if you didn't.
I know this is new. How about I call Martha tomorrow with them? Mm-hmm. Everybody's good with that? Because they were mainly just questions.
I think Adrian wants to hear them all.
No.
Okay,
no,
look, Adrian, see how many dog ears.
I see how many dog ears you got on there.
It's like every other
Ms. Yeah, Searles, I
send them to Martha.
I only got up to page 74, Ms. Searles, and I'd like to know, we'd have to see because I've already had like about 10 dog ears 12 that I thought Ms. Searles would have questions.
My, you may be ahead of me.
Okay.
Ms. Brigham.
So I, but I circled them. So.
All right.
Okay.
Next agenda item.
The only thing, one thing publicly I would like to say, the warrant list is much better. It's evolving, you know, with teams. But it is still to have to, it's not alphabetized. It is, but it could be by your first name to see what, you know, did I go on a trip this month? Well, instead of looking up S for Searles,
you would look at
L for Laurie. And there's something very backward about that. I don't know if you can work with that or not. Maybe this is as good as it gets.
No, I can look at that.
Okay, but I see that as an issue, that it's really organized in a strange way. So that...
By number, I believe. It's by numbers, right?
No, it's an alphabetical.
No, it's alphabetical.
Tell you how much I look at that.
Look, I mean...
Well,
it's on the A for Annette.
42.
I know that. I know. It's on the A for Annette.
It says Consuelo Rios instead of...
It's how it's, I do believe, the world according to Brigham, I do believe it could be meshing
the
HR, how the HR was set up, and what fields they're grabbing from the HR. So let me just do a little bit of homework on that, Ms. Searles.
Yeah, okay, because and you saw it, you're under a net. And
I'm an A.
This district is in a first name basis.
Yeah, we're such a cozy little group. But that
yes,
was
ma'am.
Something that I saw that maybe we could.
Am I?
And I'm under 007.
Oh.
We weren't going to tell that, Serge. Secret.
All right.
Agenda item 2C, purchasing, presenter Mr. Gavin. Item 1, review of annual list of vendors expected to exceed guidelines of PH local.
All right, Ron.
Committee Chair Cornell, committee members, Ms. Brigham, I place before you tonight four items for your consideration and possible recommendations of the town board for approval. The first one is a review of annual list of vendors that are expected to exceed the guidelines of CH policy regulation, CH. Mr. Brandina probably hasn't seen this, but every year we go out for this, we present this to you. These are items that we normally use on a day-to-day basis, like our office supplies, custodial supplies, and stuff like that. Most of these vendors that are on the list probably will exceed the $50,000 limit any year, but I'm here to tell you that they are all on purchasing co-ops contracts. So this is why we do that. Now, just because the vendor's on here doesn't mean we still might not bring something to you from one of these vendors. Let's say Office Depot, one of the campuses, wants to buy $12,000 worth of calculators. Then I will still bring that to you as a separate item. But this is mostly for our day-to-day items that we buy on a daily basis. So one question was brought up the other day, like Dell computers. You know, this is the Dell computers. It was mostly for like consumables, like our inkjet cartridges for our big laser printers. They're very expensive, so most of the big ones take four colors, and those things are like $250 a pop. So we got nearly $1,000 worth of printer cartridges in one of those printers, so that's why Dell's on there. So. But I would be happy to answer any questions on this, if you have any.
I have a kind of a broad question.
Yes, ma'am.
And Matt, maybe you can answer it best. I see continually in the warrant list, you know, this campus is going to get 90 computers. This campus is going to get a couple of printers. This, you know, it's piecemeal. We set a budget at the beginning of every year. Everybody's got their set amount of money. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just say, Damian needs 150 computers. They're going to get 25 computers. You know,
we do.
And just... order it all at once.
We do. Actually, what we do is we do have a spreadsheet that is set up by campus, even by classroom.
Okay.
And what we've done is we have looked at the age of the computers, mm-hmm. the program of the computers, And what we are doing with Martha's, this is year two of the computer replacement cycle. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we go in and we say to the campuses, because we also have to coordinate with curriculum instruction. We have to coordinate making sure that whatever programs are being used for kids, that they, if we can't necessarily go up and upgrade to Office 10 because we might have software that's still meeting the needs of kids that can't go to that upgrade. So it's a little bit complex. However, what we've done is we've created a spreadsheet so that we buy, and that's why you say we renew the bid every year, and we buy hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of computers. And then I say, and it's been working.
Okay.
I say to the principals, CMS, you're getting 90 this year, but next year we're doing this. We're doing this on laptops. So we have two spreadsheets, one for the instruction, and this is instruction only. Mm-hmm. This is not administrative. So that we can look at, and what we're doing is we're developing a four-year replacement computer cycle so that it refreshes.
I understand.
And so it's been, and it's more centralized now because everything's networked. We're doing the cloud-based, some things are cloud, some things are coming through the infrastructure through our service. So what we do, and this is what we've spent in every summer. This summer, how many computers did we deploy, Mr. Flores?
Close to 200.
Right. We had 200, and then we've done another 100. We've done, I don't know how many laptops, about 125 laptops. And what we do is we have, so then what I do is I'll say, like right now, we're going into phase two. So CMS might not get labs this year. They could then go, we could go to a distributive setting with them, like saying you're going to get 25 computers. But I'll say to Davenport, hello, Davenport, guess what? We're knocking at your door, and we pull up with 90 computers. Okay. And what we do is we go in, and this is what we do. We go in and we take it from them mm-hmm. because they're pack rats.
I know.
And they'll want us to refurbish them. Mm-hmm. And I just want to paint them yellow and use them as doorstops.
Yeah.
So what we do is we go in. So in 4 years, we will have a complete replacement. So instead of, because what's been happening is things come up on a campus, and they want us to try to make 2002 computers work with 2012 software.
Yeah.
And anybody that's in the business knows that it doesn't happen like that. So what we do is we look at, we have a couple operating systems now, and we had taken it out of the campus where we need, because the expertise isn't there. And but guess what? We've met with the principals. They trust us enough that they know that everybody's on that four-year cycle and everybody will have it. So we have spreadsheets, and we just kind of go in, and then we update them, and we've been working with finance on this.
And for everything, Annette, like I see, and I speak out of ignorance, as you well know, but I see, like, you got those, you know, like the white,
the smart board.
Smart board.
Or the Mimeos. Those are the two we support.
Exactly. the little notepads, all these little electronic
Mimeo pads. Mm-hmm.
That, it's all on your cycle?
No, but that's a very good, because we don't have, now what we did do is we did tell them, stop going and buying the Prometheans and stop going to buying this, because they expect us, they think our heads are this big,
yeah.
That the tech IT people, you know, should look like the people from outer space because they have all these big brains. And they think we should. So what we've done is we're saying, we're going to support this and we're going to support this.
Uh-huh.
And we've tried to narrow it down.
So it's uniform?
And well, Ron knows we've been working with it, and it's been a chore, but you know, the campuses have been, I don't think they've given us flashback, but I do think because they trust us. They know mm-hmm. that we're here. They know Martha and I are working together to give it a four-year cycle, ma'am.
I would ask, I guess with her question, mm-hmm. when we're purchasing, do we get money toward for these computers, or are they self-funded, or is there...
Well, nothing's self-funded. What do you mean? I'm not sure I answered your question.
If you remember, guys, we had to put in extra because of the IT issue during our budget hearing last year, because that was part of our increase that we used from our excess.
And now what we're doing...
And it was like $300,000, $400,000?
Yes, $300,000.
Yeah.
And what we're doing now with...
That's exactly what
with Martha is... Is she now is giving us the state comp budget, and we're using it for that. And then if the schools want to come in, and this is the same thing that facilities has a trouble with sometimes, is they'll come in and they'll say to Ron, they'll say to us, we want to buy 30 computers. And I'll say, okay, where are they going? And they say, oh, in this lab. And I'll say, okay, did you do the drops? Did you have the electrical? And they'll go, oh, no. No. So it's, we're developing, like facilities is doing, is that all of a sudden we're saying that you cannot put in a lab unless you're coming through us. We have to be sitting at the table with you, along with facilities. Not because we don't want to say we can't do it, but they have to make sure they put it in the right budget.
I understand. So, okay.
We're just trying to close the loop.
And that it's a comprehensive thing instead of just, well, you got a little of this and they're going to get a little of that.
No, ma'am. It, matter of fact, we start with the oldest, and we look at the oldest, and then we look at the intent. We're not going in and throwing out the oldest machines if they have software that meet a particular group of kids, like us fed kids. We're listening to them, and they're saying, leave us alone. We leave them alone.
Okay.
But...
Thank you,
Annette.
Thank you.
Made
me feel
better. Okay, purchasing co-op vendor list.
Okay, the next item is our annual extension of membership purchasing cooperative contracts. The external auditors recommended last year that we do this every year to make sure that you're aware that we are part of these co-ops and that you approve of us being in the co-ops. We did have one co-op, the Houston Galveston Area Council, that we've been a member of since long before I was here, probably long before even Sam Garcia was here. But they happened to choose that item one year, and we didn't have proof that we brought it to the board for approval, that the board approved us to use that co-op. So that's the reason I'm coming out today. I do want to tell you that I'm probably going to go ahead and bring this to you again in late June so that I can be on my bid calendar so that we can approve this right before the new year budget for the year so that we can catch up. And since we changed our budget year, I do want to catch up with this. So you may see this again. Well, you will see this again in probably late June, at the June board meeting too, so that we can get on the schedule for next year and be in the same calendar as our fiscal year now. So.
Okay. All right. Are you okay with recommending
the approval?
All right.
Okay. The next item is the purchase of asset management software system. Ms. DeLeo, Lori DeLeo, is one of our auditors. She's worked very hard putting this together for us.
It's right here.
Yeah, it's really good.
Accountant. Oh, no, sorry. Accountant. Well, she audits me too, so. She's one of our accountants, and she's done a very good job putting this together. She does have a presentation if you'd like for her to present, or we can go off of the handout she gave you there. If you have any questions on it, or what we're doing, or want to do.
It's your pleasure, guys.
Are you an auditor or an accountant?
She's an accountant.
Accountant, so let me get that clear.
I've asked time and time again about this very issue to Martha. Mm-hmm. This satisfies my questions. I'm good without a presentation.
Same here.
And I'd like to give kudos to the team, which is, you know, Tony was part of it, Gloria. Annette and I sat in a couple of meetings, but they were persistent.
Yeah.
They met with many vendors. They strategized. They analyzed their current processes. I feel very confident that they've done the research to bring forward the best possible choice. With a district inventory attached to this process.
Absolutely. So it's twofold. It's inventory and then
asset management.
Who will keep the software? You're going to really like that. I know this. Who will keep the Excel sheet?
Wow.
And Gloria is responsible.
More than
for
one in a meeting. Sorry.
Getting dangerous.
And that will reside in finance.
Yes.
And that will be now the new asset management software. And that's where we will centralize all of the assets for the district.
And who will do it? You will?
The inventory they're contracting out.
Okay, but it's got to be typed in somehow, correct?
It's all contracted out, and then it will be uploaded, or they will give it. And then magic happens up here in the cloud, and it goes in.
Okay.
And it goes into a server.
Don't overload my brain tonight.
You said Excel sheet. An Excel spreadsheet. They do include some reports, and they also will be working with the management software system to upload that data.
And updating is the contracted services?
No, updating will be part of the asset. Once they do the initial inventory, mm-hmm. that will be uploaded, and then it will put it on a schedule, like we do everything else in IT. That it will be uploaded when you put it in at 2 a.m. in the morning or 3 a.m. on a Friday, you'll set up the schedule.
But the actual flow of assets into the district, into the software,
yes.
We have a process in place. We're going to incorporate it, but probably enhance it because now it's more automated than...
So you're going to have it as soon as it hits the warehouse, mm-hmm. RFID, yes. Right. Ready to go.
Well, we don't
love
have
it.
That.
Move into Walmart.
It won't
be RFID. We can't afford the one that jumps onto you. Do you know what I mean?
Thank you.
All right, are we okay with recommending this to the board?
Yes, definitely.
Right. Good job, awesome. Guys. Thank you.
Yeah,
good
excellent.
Job. Item 4 is actually the physical inventory part. They're actually going to go off to our campuses, and they're actually going to
go off and inventory all the district.
And then we are our books are on our textbooks.
This won't be textbooks.
Are already on
we have
our
through Hayes. Yes, Hayes is, we have that program. Hayes
and
program.
And it's been working wonderfully.
Has that been working?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And all right. We're auditing annually. We're collecting fines. We're collecting from the campuses. So that's just it's an automatic.
Okay.
Campuses aren't in shock anymore. They follow.
All right. Good. Okay. All right, next.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
I'm fetching them.
Always come the other way, Miss.
Ah, I love that.
That's slippery, Hector. She went that way.
Oh, really? I'm sorry about that.
All right.
He went in the other way.
Hector.
Agenda item B, internal audit presented Mr. Rodriguez to include hotline update and compliance calendar.
So we'll start with the hotline update. We have one case that remains from October. We have 6 that were received in January, 5 are in progress and 1 is closed. We have 1 that was received in February and that one's in progress. Does anybody have any questions related to these reports?
I have maybe a comment to make on the Garcia Elementary School employee, the first one that you named here in this report.
Yes.
I've had quite a few complaints that person is not ever at her job, not, I've had personally people calling me on that too.
Okay. And so I have had a discussion with the principal and she ran the attendance reports for these 2 individuals that were reported in the hotline. Mm-hmm. She gave me, just a verbal agreement that she was going to speak to the 2 individuals and give them a verbal reprimand and continue to monitor their attendance. And if these 2 individuals continue with the concerns with the attendance, then she would write a written reprimand.
Okay.
And I have received the actions that she is taking in writing. And so I'll go ahead and update that. And so basically that one is closed.
Garcia?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Any questions from the... All right. Thank you, Hector. Next
so
one.
Going forward with the compliance calendar, there was three activities that I focused on this month. The first one is CIC will ensure that the 15-12 quarterly report for the quarter ending September 30, 2012 includes the FTE information in accordance with the guidance. And so I worked with Ana Zuniga and reviewed the 15-12 quarterly report for the quarter ending September 30, 2012, and it appears that all FTEs have been included in the report. In addition, the external funding coordinator has certified on the quarterly report submission that the information is in compliance with the applicable federal and state laws. So it seems that we've completed that corrective activity and it's now in status of complete. The second one that we're monitoring is CISD will satisfy the 55% spending requirement for GT and SE program and satisfy the 60% spending requirements for the CTE program. And so basically what I did was ran the accounts for all these programs and was able to calculate the percentage that they've expended at this point. I forwarded this information to the different data owners just so they could have this information to continue to monitor. Also wanted to note that the finance department gave a budget workshop. In that budget workshop, they notified the principals, all the attendees that, you know, we have to make sure that we're meeting our spending requirements. The next corrective activity that I worked on was CISD will implement procedures to ensure proper program and function coding. And I've obtained from financial services the function supplemental pay guidelines and the function authorization form. So this is considered now closed.
Good.
Anybody have any questions? Thank you.
Well, looking
Thank
good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Closing out a lot of this under compliance calendar is
shrinking,
which is good. Yeah. Good job, Hector.
Thank you, Hector.
This will take us to item three, community input.
There are several community members out there.
I don't feel that they should really speak.
That's on the record.
All right.
I do have one item.
Yeah.
One item. Ms. Brigham?
Yes.
We do have a demographer that we have on contract. Ahead of all these ratings, and we're trying to make sure we present the best picture and the growth and whatnot for our ratings. Just to get an updated information on that, because it's
I have pretty much, you know, I do. I have a report ready.
Mm-hmm.
Been a little preoccupied, but I will. I could give you that for mm-hmm. March.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, I have a full report.
Yeah, for March.
And but I have it ready. So I mean, I could. I don't think I just have to figure out where.
You know,
where it is in my file.
But I think I have it.
Yes, and so what I'm going to do is I can bring it up again. We did not discuss it.
Yeah.
If you recall, it was just...
It just went by the wayside.
Yes. Absolutely. So I have it, and Ms. Searles, you need to know that we are working on what you gave me the other day as far as from the city planning also. But we have it... we're meshing what I said the other day. We're meshing the demographer's information. Not only what we did is we took the demographer's information and we put it on GIS.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, I said that we're going to contract. I talked to Gustavo, and we're going to work on that within the next, hopefully within the next 3 weeks, we'll have you another, you know, like we'll keep that. Nice big picture you have of the district. Then we're going to create another one with an overlay of the areas named, then we're going to try to color code it because I have a build out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like what are going to be built out within the next 18 months? What's going to be built out in the next 36 months? And then I have even one step further going from the now I'm talking to the demographer. I'm going over here to the demographer that I'm telling you I can, with analysis, it's a, you know, statistical analysis, that I'm saying this area of Gunnetia will generate 200 elementary kids, 47 middle school, and 18 high school. And then, you know, and so I have that by year, by development. So I think I might have your question answered.
Great.
Because, yeah, y'all told me to do that. And that's under the associate superintendent. And in when I was doing that job, I was trying to do it pretty well.
Did you notice the presentation? Gloria wrote your name and then she put interim superintendent.
Did you?
I saw that. I cracked up. You had more hats on.
She says, well, she started it as an associate when she started the program with us, but now she's interim, so...
So, and then it also had still the student resources person also. You were everything in there.
But anyway, I think I could provide that maybe by next Thursday.
Mr. As long as it's, you know, on the radar somewhere. I know that we had done the demographer, the GIS information a while ago.
But, you know, I'm ready to, I do have that in my budget. As the only good thing about all these different hats, I have all those budgets for all those different hats. So I'm real excited. So I can absolutely have him, and we could actually have it within, we could make it in a March session, that we could have it at this committee, and that I think you'd love to have that information presented. Okay.
Thank you. That was it.
I like having answers.
9:17, and we are adjourned by unanimous consent of the committee.
Sergio, don't forget your time.
Yes.
And
thank you.
And don't forget Valentine's
Lori, tomorrow. Thank you.